Okay, we left off last time in the middle of the Mishnah. And we had discussed the Machlokes Hillel Beis Shammai, but one line we hadn't gotten to yet. Amrlam Beis Shammai Misham Raya Afim Amrlam Kenei Yisanoi Lukiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Mi Yamecha. Right, Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel that, in fact, when they went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoronis, they said to him, if you were sitting with your head in the, with your table, sorry, in the house, you were not Mekayim Mitzvah Sukkah your whole life. You were never Mekayim Mitzvah Sukkah. And here we have a big debate as to how literally to take this. What does it mean that he wasn't the Kayim, the mitzvah of Sukkah ever, if his head was in the house? L'chora, we're talking here about a Sukkah Gedola, not a Sukkah Ketana. It doesn't say he was sitting in a Sukkah Ketana, it just says that his table was in the house. Right? Sukkah Gedola, remember all the lumdus we had last time? All that lumdus was why is the Sukkah Ketana possible? Sukkah Gedola is possible because of Gzeira Sheni Mashach Achar Shulchano. It's very explicit. So he violated Gzeira. Right? He did the mitzvah, he violated Gzeira. So he did the mitzvah, he violated Gzeira. Really? Lo, kia mitzvah Sukkah miyamecha? Like, why wasn't he making the mitzvah of Sukkah? So there are, it seems to me, three different shachtim that showed him as to exactly what this means. If you look in the Ritva here, is more explicit than the Ran. If you look in the Ritva here, he says, he's quoting the Ramban about something else. The Ramban does not directly talk about our Mishnah anywhere that I was able to find. He says, Lav Davka. That doesn't really mean it's Mekayim Mitzvah Sukkah. The Sukkah don't look Sheirahi. Ella she'asra rabbanu shlo tishu shochanim shochav bayis gzeira shemi masach shochanim. He just violated gzeira. Ella pei rusha lo kiyamtu mitzvah sukkah karoy kotzen chachamim. Doesn't mean you never mekayim mitzvah sukkah. It means you were never mekayim it like l'mahadrin mitzvah. You know bishle musa. You were mekayim it the best way. V'chavas v'rakavi psachim says mishlo amar gimel dvar meil pesel yotzi di chavas. So shavrusha lo kiyam tosu karoy v'alvade inu ma'aki. What does he say? He says this is a big debate we're not getting into now. When it says in Pesachim, anyone who didn't say these three things on Pesach wasn't Yotzei his Chova. Okay, it's not clear which Chova wasn't he Yotzei. The Rambam sounds like the Chova of Sefer Yosef Mitzrayim. The Ramban and the Ritva and others, the Ritva here is not so clear, assumes the Chova of Matan and Mar and Pesach. So the Ramban says, is it really true he wasn't Yotzei just because he didn't say these things? So he says, well, of course he was Yotzei. It's not Ma'akev. He was Taka Yotzei. It just means he didn't do it properly. So the Ritva says here also just means he didn't do it properly, but it's not really ma'akev. It sounds to me like the Ritva means. And the Ran says similar lashon, right? It sounds to me, even though all the achronim understand the Ran differently, but it sounds to me that what does it mean, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah mi yamecha? So one is the Ritva, and it sounds to me like the Ran. It says really was mekayim mitzvah sukkah. He taka was mekayim the mitzvah. He doesn't have to go back and eat again the first night. He just wasn't mekayim it in the ideal possible way. So it's the Ritva is very clear. So the Ritva compares to Pesach. He says eino ma'akev. Eino ma'akev means he was mekayim the mitzvah. So the Ritva says kiyam ha-mitzvah aval lo karoi. He was mekayim the mitzvah, but not in the proper way. But he was actually mekayim the mitzvah. He just violated the gzeira. Okay. Yes?
The example they bring is different. Over there, they're saying you're supposed to do something. And if you don't do it, even if it's midrabbana, you haven't done everything you're supposed to do. Here, you did what you're supposed to do. There's a side to Zera that said maybe you shouldn't have done it, but you did it. You did everything you were supposed to do.
So then Kalshikane, you were Yotze.
Yeah.
Okay, so, fine, great.
Well, why make the comparison to...
Just because the Lushan. Because the Lushan here is tricky. Basically, they're stuck in this problem. It's clear as Yotze Sukhi, you just violated Zera. But the Mishnah says lo kiyamta. Mm-hmm. So they need to find someplace in Shas where they can prove that lo kiyamta is lav davka, it's not literal. So they say here, lo yotzi di chovaso. Lo yotzi di chovaso is not literal. Lo kiyamta is also not literal. Even though all the achronim understand the Ran as a little differently. I made a list someplace here. The Arch Laner and the Chachma Shlomo and the Bi'ur Halacha all understand him a little differently. But Tosfos has a radically different possibility. Tosfos Naf Gimel says, he says the Gemara in Brachos proves that anyone who does like Beis Shammai hasn't done anything. Tosfos says, what's the big chiddush? That if you do like Beis Shammai, you haven't done anything. If the halacha is like Beis Hillel, then of course you can do like Beis Shammai, it's worthless. So he says, Sarach Lomar, Yitzhar Chasim Leisui, Yehechad Beis Hillel Machmir Midrabanan, Beis Shammai Mokmila Doraisa, Velogaz Rinan, Velogaz Rinan, Im Asik Beis Shammai, Yotzi Yehovas Afilu Midoraisa, Kidashkechan, etc. So says Tosfos, big chiddush, that the Gemara and Brachos discussing whether if you violate the Drabanan, are you at least Yotzi on Doraisa level? And they're saying that you're not in Yotzi Midoraisa, and the proof is from our Mishnah. Now, we paskin like Beis Hillel. So if you do like Beis Shammai, you wouldn't be Yotzi. The Mishnah happens to be the opposite, but the principle is the same. What does Beis Shammai think if you do like Beis Hillel and you violate the Drabanan? So says Tosfos, he says that no, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah yomecha is super duper literal, right? Is lo kiyam afilo midoraisa. Even midoraisa, he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah sukkah. Somehow, even though he only violated drabanan, he wasn't mekayim it on a doraisa level. And of course, there is a in between possibility. The Rambam's shita is not so clear here, right? If you look at the Rambam's lashon, let me just find it. sorry. The Rambam says that the Misha Yeroshu Rubisuk of Shachanim Sokabaya, so Chotzuk Vyacha, where he's an Osir, Ukiilu lo Achal Besukkah. It's as if he didn't eat in the Sukkah. Where did he get it? It's as if he didn't eat in the Sukkah, clearly from our Mishnah, right? Loki Amtu Misusef, Sukkah Yamech, as if he didn't eat in the Sukkah. So this is not clear, but what does he mean by as if he didn't eat in the Sukkah? The Urcha Shoman says he thinks what the Rama means is that Midrabanan is possible. Midoraisa, he was Yotzekas. But Midrabanan, they made it not just a Lechachil Xaver like the Ritva that you weren't Mekayim it properly. But here is the Rambam, Lefi the Urcha Shochan. That's how the Urcha Shochan explains the Rambam. Maybe it's even here. Says the Urcha Shochan before he gets to the Beis Yosef. He says, Emes Lashon Rambam, Shekasov, etc. Meaning midrabanan, it's as if he didn't eat the sukkah. Midrabanan savada yotza, right? And the Ran, according to, I don't know who we saw maybe the Urch Laner and the Chachma Shlomo and the Bir Halacha, right? So those, none of these are very clear in the Achronim, but they say midaraisa yotza. So there are really three possibilities here. Tosfos says even midoraisa wasn't yotzei. The Achronim interpreted the Rambam and the Ran that you were yotzei midoraisa, but midrabanan they made this ma'akev and you weren't yotzei. And the Ritva is very clear. Pshat in the Ran is that no, you just weren't yotzei the best way. But even midrabanan, you were yotzei. You just weren't yotzei the best way. It wasn't a you weren't mekayim the mitzvah l'mahadrin. Okay, those are the three possibilities. Obviously, what's the most intriguing possibility here is number three. If the machlokas is between number one and two, whether it's a gzeir drabanan, you were still yotzei, or midrabanan, they said you weren't yotzei, okay, that just depends how harsh they were when they made the gzeir drabanan. Did they say, no, this is a side point? Or did they say, no, midrabanan, this is the mice of yeshiva sukkah. But this is very challenging the achronim, which is Tosfos says straight out before, you weren't yotzei even midoraisa. And the question is, but you were yotzei midoraisa, right? By what power, how can a gzeira drabanan take away the kiyum mitzvah midoraisa? Because we all know you're yotzei midoraisa. And they're going to point out that there are many places in Shas, throughout Shas, where we find that just because something's possible midrabanan, doesn't mean it's possible midoraisa. All of Masechta is given is a get that's possible midrabanan. It's still kosher midoraisa. There's a lot of things that are aser midrabanan, possible midrabanan, but you're still yotzei midoraisa. So by what power did they take away your kiyum here? And here we have a few pshatim in the Achronim. Some of them are even a little creative, I must say. The Aruch Lener and the Chazon Ish here both go in a similar direction. And the Chazon Ish we mentioned last time, we said we'd get back to. sorry. The Aruch Lener makes a whole pilpul out of it, but his basic point is, he says, he asks, that he thinks, and then he goes to the whole cheshbon, which I'm not terribly convinced of. But his point is that, since we're afraid that he might lean over his shulchan and put his head outside the sukkah, in kain lo habi rak bedira srucha, sorry, v'chem sukkah gedola, even a sukkah gedola, shulchan b'sukkah bayis, right? He says, kain sheish chashem yimash kach shulchano, lo habi yeshivas b'sukkah, yeshivas keva, rak kib bedira srucha, lo habi teishu kain taduru. It's not teishu kain taduru. That it's not really just a pure gzera. It's really not teishu kain taduru. Any case where you're about to leave the sukkah, and you're not kavua in the sukkah, you're any second now, your head's going to go out of the sukkah, is not called teishu kain taduru. And that's the same thing that the Chazon Ish says. He says, kevan shu olo li mashik achar shulchano lav dirahi.
If you're concerned about teishu kain taduru, then the horror, just the absence of the table is a chisaron, and not necessarily because you'll be nimshah.
No, so they don't think because you're eating without a table is teishu kain taduru. What they think is that
the house has a table. I mean, that, like that.
Okay, that's a fair point, but apparently they think that's not ma'ake. The kelim noyim, right? The furniture is not ma'ake teishu kain taduru. It could be teishu kain taduru even without furniture. What's ma'ake teishu kain taduru is yeshiva has to be that you're fixed someplace, right? That you're miyushav there, and if there's something that's every second causing you to leave, that's afkav the yeshiva. That's their point. Their point is that, and here, it's not just gzeira. Just gzeira means we're just afraid something else will happen, right? It's not just gzeira, but a chisaron in keshu kein taduru because you are not settled in the sukkah, right? If there's something that every second you have to fight a force that's causing you to leave and you're about to stick your head out of the sukkah, there's something, a magnet pulling your head out of the sukkah every minute, then that's not teishu kain taduru. Of course, there's a big chiddush. That's not what sounds like from gzeira. Gzeira means we're just afraid something else will happen, right? This is a bit of a reinterpretation. This is a chiddush, right? Chiddush in pshat of the Gemara, right? I would have said gzeira means gzeira, but you understand. They're trying to justify this tosos.
If you take that, then how is possible work, even if it's the first night, if it's raining, and you say you should eat the sukkah, you would time something, it's not any worse than you worrying about your table going out?
That's an interesting question. Who knows? Maybe tosos tacos you wouldn't eat in the rain, like tosos and brachos, right? You could always work out the cheshbon.
Isn't the whole point of Tosos to come to explain the Gemara and Brachos, and therefore you'd have to say the same sort of concept by the
So that's why, correct. So this is also a little dark. I was about to point this out. Tosos and Brachos is saying there's not a specific rule of Sukkah. What Tosos and Brachos is saying is that they're learning from Sukkah to other areas of Halacha, like Kriyat Shema, the principle that if you violate Rabbanan, you're really not Yotzim Daraisa. According to this, you really can't learn to Kol Torah Kulo, so that's also very difficult. We'll mention that in a second. Yes, that is sort of what it sounds like. Like, once the Rabbanim made their judgment that you're a lowly himashek, you're likely to be nimshach after shulchano, they Masra and Kasala Chacham, as it were, decided it's not taking into the Duru. Again, but that's not what the language of Gzera sounds like. Right, so that's still tough in the language of Gzera, you know,
That's could be extrapolated to other cases as well.
I see. It could be extrapolated to other cases as well. You're saying what Tosos means, that any case where the din drabanan is really something that could redefine the concept, and Daraisa, you extrapolate to it, and maybe you get away with that. Okay, fair enough, I accept it. Now, there's some more creative shots in. The The Chachma Shlomo, which Rosh Shlomo Kluger on the Shulchan Aruch, and in the Dvar of Rahm, he also quotes, we heard this from Elia Baruch Kamai, I think he was a Rosh Shiva of Mir. But the Chachma Shlomo says, he says, can't be. He says, how could the Rabbanim be of Kiyakim Daraisa? Except there's one area of Halacha where we know the Rabbanim have the power to uproot Daraisa, Hefker, Bezen Hefker, and Dini Mamnos. So it must be that Hefker, Mafkir, Yersukka, and that's how they took away your Kiyakim Daraisa. Okay. How does that help? After all, I don't need to own my sukkah. So we saw that there was one shot that maybe you're not using sukkah's hefker, but he says better. He says, Rabbi Eliezer is Shamuti, he, the Gemara says, which many of you far shall understand to mean he was from Beis Shammai. So if Rabbi Eliezer is from Beis Shammai, he says sukkah sh'ul is possible, you need to own your sukkah. Then the son of Beis Shammai held you need to own your sukkah. We're in Beis Shammai here. So if you're Beis Shammai, you need to own your sukkah. Hefker, bez, and hefker takes away your kiyum. Okay, very clever. He says Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, and Beis Shammai holds that you need Lecha by Sukkah, right? Unlike the way we pass them, like Rabbi Eliezer.
But they also hold that they, Hefker, Bezdin, they make it that it's not, you can't even use it, it's Gazul.
And that's interesting. Maybe it's say through Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, they make it, what, does the Chacham Shlomo say Gazul? Or the I thought he said that Rabbi Eliezer is Shamuti, etc. So he does not. I don't think he said. But you could say also maybe they make it Gazel, right? That would depend on the Hakir and Hefker Bezen Hefker. Big Machlokes Rishonim discussed in the Marshal. Hefker Bezen Hefker just makes something not yours, or can it make it someone else's? Right? If they're running after my property and give it to you, does that mean they can make it Hefker and you can be Kona it, or can they actually make it yours?
They can make it after and cone it themselves.
Or can they? Or maybe they can only make it after. So, okay, if they can, so Morty makes a good point, or they make it theirs, if you hold they can make it theirs, and it's Gozel, right? This is not the approach of Chacham Shlomo talk, but I think that's possible if you hold they can make it someone else's. Okay, the Dvar of Raham has a different clever pshat. He says, it's the Rabbanan here, it's funny, we would think, our intuition, is that, well, if they redefined how to be kind of with sukkah, then that's more ma'akev than if they just made a gzeira. But he says, no, adrava. If they just tell you what's a kosher yeshiva sukkah, what's a possible yeshiva sukkah, then taka, there will only be possible in Rabbanan. It'll still be kosher yedaraisa. But here they made a gzeira. Gzeira is an isser. When you violate a gzeira, you do an isser. So they say, hold on. When you violate the Gzeirah Rabbanan, you're doing an Isser. When you do an Isser, now your Yeshiva Sukkah is a mitzvah bav aveira and pasul midaraisa. Because, and here's the subtlety. Here's the subtlety. Even though the Rabbanan don't have the power to redefine when you're Yotzei Sukkah midaraisa, they do have the power to make an aveira. And he obviously holds like the Rambam. That violating Mr. Rabbanim is an Aveira Doraisa. The Rambam says, if you violate Mr. Rabbanim, violate Lo Sasu Doraisa. So if it's a real Aveira Doraisa, then through Mitzvah Bav Aveira, you're not Yotzei. So that's what the Dvar Avraham says. He says, since it's an Aveira to violate the Gzeira, it is Lo Yatsa Mida Oraisa Midin Mitzvah haba'a ba'aveira. Obviously, he holds mitzvah ba'aveira as a principle of midaraisa. So here it's a bit of a chaf. He says the Rabbanan can't change whether you're yotzei directly on the daraisa level, but the Rabbanan can make an isser. And it's also midaraisa violating isser Rabbanan, and therefore it's mitzvah ba'aveira. We know there's a famous machlok is Rambam and Ramban, whether it's also daraisa violating isser Rabbanan. So if you assume it's also midaraisa violating isser Rabbanan, then it's a mitzvah ba'aveira. Okay, according to this, you could ask a very simple question, right? In what cases does violating the Drabbanan, the Din Drabbanan, Ma'akev, Kiyum HaMitzvah Min HaTorah, like how far could you extend this, right? So according to the Aruch Lener and the Chazon Ish, it would be very limited. Right, as we pointed out, we say only sukkah or cases where it's really part of the Hagdoras HaMitzvah. Right? Really, violating the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan can never be Ma'akev Kiyum D'Oraisa. It's only local in Sukkah. Tosfos saying called her Kula. So either say that makes this a bad shot. The Chazon Ish wasn't saying it in Tosfos, so it's not a problem for him. The Urchlaner was saying it in Tosfos. Or you could say, no, Tosfos meant only compared to other cases where it's somehow mafkia, the getter of the mitzvah is described in the Torah. Again, it's not a problem with Chazon Ish. He was not interpreting Tosfos. He was saying on his own. According to the Chachma Shlomo, it's only mitzvos that need bialos. Right? So for lulav and esrog, also if you violated your rabbanan, it would be ma'akev your deraisa. For matzah, also if you violated your rabbanan, it would be ma'akev your deraisa. But for mitzvah that don't need bialos, then, you know, for shofar, then even if you violated, for even if you blow shofar and Shabbos and violated your rabbanan, it shouldn't be mafkiyah the deraisa because there's no need for bialos. So hefker bez and hefker doesn't hurt. According to the Dvar Avraham, it'd be very simple. When does violating the rabbanan ma'akev deraisa? That depends. If it was just a stam requirement of Rabbanan, it's not ma'akiv the deraisa. But if it's an iser Rabbanan, then it is ma'akiv the deraisa. So you say, when you violate an iser Rabbanan, as opposed to a chiyuv midrabanan. Right, if there's a chiyuv midrabanan you violated, that's not ma'akiv. Because you haven't done an aveira. You just didn't do everything you're supposed to do. But if there's an iser d'rabbanan you violated, it would be an aveira. You know, there's a, this time, I mean, I don't know if this comes up often, but it's interesting. You know the famous story about Rav Kahneman? When Rav Akiva Yosef Schlesinger, back in the day, once Yom Kippur fell out on Shabbos. So, not Yom Kippur. I mean, it can, but that's not the story. Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, when shofar is amidst the same deraisa, fell out on Shabbos. So what do? We all know we don't blow shofar, right? Every year, every time that Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, the rabbi gives a big inspiring drasha about how our not blowing shofar on Shabbos is holier than blowing shofar on a regular Rosh Hashanah. Okay, great. I'm all in favor. But it's not so pashut. You understand the taiva to blow shofar. So you can't blow. In Bezin HaGadol, you can blow shofar. So in Bezin HaGadol, you can blow shofar. Who's Bezin HaGadol? The Gemara says who was Bezin HaGadol back in the day. Right, the Riff blew shofar on Shabbos because he was Bezin. Okay, I'm not messing with the fact the Riff was Bezin HaGadol. Nowadays, no one's Bezin HaGadol. Okay, there are some people nowadays who call themselves by a Greek word that implies that they're Bezin HaGadol and blew shofar on Shabbos or Shoshanah, but that's not really taken seriously because no one really thinks that these people are the Bezin HaGadol. But there's another Shita. The Rambam holds that in Yerushalayim, you blow shofar on Shabbos even without Bezin HaGadol. The Rambam says, but Mikdash Token means all of the old city, meaning the old city with borders of Bayashay, which includes half of the modern day old city, includes the Jewish quarter, right? The Jewish quarter is Kedushas Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger, he blew shofar on Shabbos in the old city, based on the Rambam, not based on Bezin HaGadol, it wasn't about Gaiva, just based on the Rambam. And so that is not the halacha. We don't pass that way. We pass like Rashi. You can only pull shofar in the actual Beis HaMikdash. And nowadays we can go to the actual Beis HaMikdash. But they say that Rav Kahana, Rav Shiva Panovich, when he was told this afterwards, said he was wrong. But if I had known beforehand, I would have gone to hear him. I wouldn't have blown, but I would have gone to hear him. Okay. So this is an interesting question. Now, he could have meant one of two things by this. He could have meant, well, you know, maybe he's right, so if it's worth hearing him. But it's an interesting question. What if he's wrong, Taka? Right? What if a guy blows shofar on Shabbos and he's wrong? Right? Let's say he's an Am Haaretz and he lives in Tel Aviv. Right? He blows shofar on Shabbos and there's no heter whatsoever. Right? Not the Riff's heter, not Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger's heter. Right? If you listen to him, you'll say Midoraisa. Right? If you listen to him, is he Yotzei Midoraisa? Interesting question. Right? So I think that, according to the Urchlaner and the Chazon Ish, Avad is Yotzei Midoraisa. Only in Sukkah you could say it's not getting to Duru. In Shofar, it's still blowing the Shofar. It's still a young Trua, even though it's Shabbos. The fact that Shabbos doesn't make it not Trua. So the Chori, he would be Yotzei Midoraisa. And maybe Taki should go listen to him. Or maybe not. You don't want to encourage him. According to the Chachma Shlomo, he should also be Yotzei Midoraisa. They can be Mafka the Shofar from here till Kingdom Come. Doesn't matter. You don't need to own your Shofar. According to the Dvar Avraham, Avadi is not Yotzei Midoraisa.
According to the Rebbe, he's for sure not yotzei midoraisa. Because he didn't answer. He violated Hilchos Shabbos. It's like Zera to Rabbah. Of course he can violate Hilchos Shabbos and Mitzvah Aveira. He's for sure not yotzei. Okay, lemaisa, I wouldn't go hear him just because you don't want to encourage people to violate the halacha. But it's an interesting question. Like, would if Rebbe Akiva Yosef Schlesinger was wrong, would he still have been yotzei? So, according to the Dvar Avram, no. But according to the other Pshatim, yes. Okay, the Seder, but let's, if he says so. Now, however, it's not clear that you need any of these explanations. If you look in some of the Mepharshim, okay, I brought an Aruch HaShulchan here, nothing special with the Aruch HaShulchan. The only thing that was interesting in Aruch HaShulchan is it never bothered him to explain how they can be Mafkiya the Kiyom Midoraisa. He just says from the Beis Yosef, it sounds like Gamina Torah came. Yeah, sure. But he says, no, it must be the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan made it that he's also not Yotzim Doraisa because it could lead to a big kilkul. It doesn't bother him how, right? It doesn't need any mechanism. And here it comes into the famous Chakira of Rebbe Chanan, the Kobetz Ha'aros. Rebbe Chanan has a rather well-known Chakira about the principle that Yesh Koach B'yad Chachamim Laker B'Dovrim HaTorah B'Shevi Altase. Right? The Chachamim can uproot something passively from the Torah, an example that we just mentioned, right? Shofar on Shabbos. Lulam on Shabbos as well. It's a Chiv Doraisa, Bikvulin, and there are Baran uprooted in, many other things. So, they can uproot something in the Torah B'Shevi Altase. What does it mean they can uproot something in the Torah B'Shevi Altase, but not become Masei? Right? They can't actually tell you to go and, eat ham or something. So, what's Pshat in this? So he has Chakiri, he says there are two ways to understand it. One way is that it's not that they're uprooting the Torah. They are just, they're just putting an obstacle in the way of the Torah. The Torah says to blow shofar on Shabbos. They can't uproot what the Torah says. How can they change the Torah? But they can tell you not to blow shofar on Shabbos. And then you're stuck. The Torah says to blow shofar on Shabbos. They say not to blow shofar on Shabbos. So you're stuck in a contradiction. And the contradiction, the principle is, you should always be passive and not do anything, and that's why they can uproot something from the Torah and tell you not to do something, because they contradict the Torah, and then you're stuck, so you do nothing. They can't tell you to actively do something, because if you're stuck, you do nothing. Okay, so one of the side of this here is that they can't actually change the Torah. All they can do is put an opposing force that leaves it as a stalemate 50-50. Well, he says, but his other side of the Chakir is no. Maybe they actually have the right to uproot the Torah. They don't have the... Hashem actually gave the Chachamim the right to change the Torah. They can't change the Torah B'Kum Basay. That right they weren't given. But they can change the Torah B'Shev El Tasa. Okay, one afternoon this Chakir might be, what I'm not getting to now, the famous Tosin Yavamos, can they even uproot the Torah B'Kum Basay in some circumstances where they have like a legitimate, where it sounds very reasonable. But without getting into all the nafkamines of that Chakira now, he says one of the nafkamines is our sugya. If you say the Chacham can't actually change the Torah, all they can do is make an opposing force. So they can't actually change whether or not you're Yotzei. They can just tell you what to do, what not to do. But if you say the Rabbanan can actually uproot the Torah, become Vasei, B'Shev El Tasa, not become Vasei. If the Rabbanan actually do have power, there's certain flexibility, malleability. The Rabbanan have power to change certain things in the Torah if they have good reason, lock or dub. They really can be Oker Dabrin HaTorah. Not anything, only some cases. But if they're really Oker Dabrin HaTorah, then they were okurts, and it's not a mitzvah anymore. And he says, go back to shofar on Shabbos. If the Rabbanan aren't actually okur, they're just putting an obstacle and making a stalemate, then you're still Yotzei Midoraisa. If you did it, you violated their Din Rabbanan, they can change the Torah. But if they can actually be okur the Torah, they were okur shofar on Shabbos. If they were okur shofar on Shabbos, it's now like playing a guitar. It's not a mitzvah anymore. So he says that's really what's going on in Tosos here. What is Tosos here? It's very simple. So, and now I know this is Chakira in Rebbe Chanan. This is one side of his Chakira, but it could be that Tosos, we can now just demonstrate that Tosos holds like this. That's basically what he says, that Tosos holds like this side of the Chakira. So says Rebbe Chanan, very simply, he says, you don't need a mechanism. You don't need a special explanation why you're not Yotzei Midoraisa. You don't need a special mechanism. It's just the rule of Yesh Koach B'Yad Chachamim Lakor Dover min ha-Torah, bishay v'altasa. What did they want to tell you? They told you don't. They told you shave altasa. Don't sit with your body in the sukkah and table in the house. Don't do that. Right? Shave altasa. They were okay. So the only finish, he says, there's two sides of the hakira, and he says this is the side of the hakira of lak or mamish. They're really okay. It's not that they're just making an obstacle and they a stalemate to prevent you from keeping the Torah. They're actually going into the Torah and changing it. The Rabbanim have the right to change the Torah. The only B'Shev Al-Tasa. They can't change the Torah infinitely, right? There's a limit. They can't be reform rabbis. But they can change the Torah B'Shev Al-Tasa. And therefore, when the Rabbanim said, we now say it's not a mitzvah. It's not right anymore. It's not a mitzvah to sit with your table in the house. They were okay, they're part of the Torah, and now it's no longer a mitzvah in the Torah to sit with your table in the house. And that's very poshut. And according to this, the Gemara in Brachos makes the most sense. The Gemara in Brachos, according to Tosos. Tosos said, the Gemara in Brachos is learning from our Mishnah that likewise, anytime you violate something that according to the Shita, we pass in like the Isser Rabbana, you're not using Daraisa. So this would be a universal rule. All the time, whenever you violate a derabah, whenever you blow shofar on Shabbos, or shake a lulav on Shabbos, or sit in a sukkah with your head in the house, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, any of these cases, then you're not yotze even midaraisa, because yesh kov biyad kachamim, not to end up making a stalemate that is oker dover because they put an obstacle in the way of the Torah, but to actually be oker dover in the Torah. They actually have the right to, you know, to emend the Torah in limited ways, but in those limited ways, they have the right to. Or you could say like the Orcha Shochan, or when, what's the lashon of the Orcha Shochan? You could say this is a universal rule, or you could say when Hakilkul Karov, meaning they judge that it is a serious problem. So you could say anytime you violated Rabbanu, you violated Daraisa, or you could say no. They don't have to be Oker Dabrin HaTorah. Only when they decide this is really serious and we really have to be Oker this, then you're not Yotze. But if they would have decided it's not such a big deal, they would still let you be Yotze. So here, you could go either way with this Kovetz Aris. You could say across the board you violated Rabbanan, you're not Yotze Daraisa, they were Oker. Or you could say sometimes they decided to be Oker, sometimes they decided not to, depending if it was a big deal to them or not. Okay, but clearly, this would be enough meaning. This would be the simplest pshat in Tosfos that he's learning in Brachos. This is a universal rule. Why is it a universal rule? Not because it has for bezdin or mitzvah. It's a universal rule. It would make the most sense because the Chacham have this koach locker derben Torah, and then this is proof that Tosfos holds the side of the Chakira.
There's a big step between shei val tasa and to say that what you did is no good. Shei val tasa means you don't want to, you don't do it. But
let me think about it this way. The Torah tells you do X. The Chacham say, the Torah says that it's a commandment to do X. The Chacham say, don't do X. They took away the commandment to do X. If they took away the commandment to do X, then it's not a commandment anymore.
They take away the Shev Altasa. That's not taking away. Say, don't get into that.
Shev Altasa means don't do X. Don't do X. Okay, so these are four ways of understanding this Tosos, and now I think we'll move on to the end of the Mishnah. Okay, but this last Rochan is a very important called Tarkula Chakira. Continuing the Mishnah then. Says the Mishnah. Second half of our Mishnah, right? The first half of our Mishnah, there's no Gemara on. Why? Because the Gemara is already on Daf Gimel. But the second half of the Mishnah says, Nasra v'adim tanim turim in asukah, and katnan shayin tzarech l'imo chayiv asukah, ma'isev yolda kolosso shol shama yizak and pichas amaziv, asikal gavim mita b'shvil katan. Okay, so Nasra v'adim tanim are potter, a katan who doesn't need his mother anymore. It's chayev. The Gemara is going to explain that that's not a contradiction. It's just different, you know. I mean, pasuk shah just means a little katan is pasuk, a bigger katan is chayev. And then Shammai apparently disagrees because once there's a mice that his daughter-in-law gave birth, and they couldn't actually bring the baby into the sukkah. That wasn't practical, apparently. So instead, he just broke the ceiling and put schach there in order to have a sukkah for the baby. Okay, Menon immediately says the Gemara. The Tanur van Ezrach ze Ezrach. Ha Ezrach lotis anoshim. Okay, Ezrach is a citizen. The hey of Ezrach is to exclude women from sukkah. Kol Ezrach yisro yesh basukos. Kol the Rav Sektan. That's kol Ezrach is to include tanim. Amar mar. Ha Ezrach lotis anoshim. The main word the Ezrach anoshim in Gabri Mashva. This implies that Ezrach is both genders. Therefore, the hey comes to exclude women. When it talks about fasting Yom Kippur, it says Ha'ezrach, etc. Ha'ezrach. So Ezrach is the hay of Ha'ezrach includes even the citizen women who have to fast on Yom Kippur. Alma Ezrach Gavri Mashma. That sounds like just Ezrach would have been men, and the hay includes women. So which is Ezrach both and hay excludes women, or is Ezrach men and hay includes women? Amar Rava Hilchasa Ninhu, or Hilchasahi. It is a halacha. It's really halacha Mishmishina. It's really not the drash of the pasuk, and it's just an asmachta. Hi Krava Hay Hilchasa. The Gemara says, hold on a second. One of them is the real meaning. There has to be a rule of Midrash. Chazal have to have a rule. Does Ezrach mean one way or the other way? So there's only two options to the rule. Either Ezrach means women, or Ezrach means women and men. So therefore, either the hay excludes women or the hay includes women. So one of these two drashas is the rule. Only one of them is a halacha most recent, and it's merely an asmachta. That's not really the rule. Which is which? Vesu, krala, mali, and also the krala, mali. Why do you need a pasuk or a halacha? These are both a svara. Sukkim installation van Gramma, Huvachal, installation van Gramma, Nashim to Rosh, Yomaki Purim, Midrav, Yudom Rav, Nafudam, Yudom Rav, Kintan, Rishmal, Amarkar, Isha, Isha, Hishra, Kazu, Isha, 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 own Shin Sheva Torah. And he said, not to mention the fact we don't need a drasha or a halacha for either of these, because they're both general rules. Sukkim is a installation van Gramma, women are potter without a halacha or a pasuk. And Yom Kippur is an Isser, right? It's a Chiv Kares. And when it comes to Isserim, even if it's van Gramma, women and men are equally chayav from the pasuk of the drasha of Hishra, Kazu, Isha, Ish. When it comes to prohibitions, women and men are both chayiv, so therefore you don't need a pasuk. So Amar Abayi li olam sukkah helchasa. So Abayi is telling us the sukkah is the halacha, and the Yom Kippur is the kra. But why do you need halacha if it's mitzvah on grama? V'itzer chasakad leich amina teishu kain tadura ma dira ishva ishto sukkah ishva ishto kamashulan. You might have thought teishu kain tadura, just like dira means man and wife. So you have to live man and wife in the sukkah. Even though it's mitzvah on grama, you would have made an exception to the teishu kain tadura kamashulan halacha moshmi sinai. That women are potter. And Rava says, Itzrich Sakh Lechamina, Yalach Misha Asrich Misha Asrich Chaga Matzos, Malahal Nashvayus, Kam Nashvayavus, Ka Mashvalan. Right, and Rava says, no, you would have, the half mean to include women would have been, because the Xerah Shavu Tesvav Tesvav, and therefore, Kamashvalan, the Halacha Moshe Sinai, that women are excluded. Okay, Rava and Abaye here seem to be Lashitasan. Earlier we had, the question of Shomrei Ginos of Pardesim, Abaye says they're potter because the Teshu came to Duru, and Rava says because the Pirta Koro Laganov. So in these two sugyas, Tosus points out there that, and a little later here, that everyone agrees Teshu came to Duru. It's a brisa at the bottom of our daf that you have to live in the sukkah the way you live in the house. As a matter of fact, according to all the Rishonim that we saw. Everyone agrees that's what Mitzvah is potter because of Teshu Kein Tadur, and both Rav and Abaye agree. But apparently, the machlok is how far to take Teshu Kein Tadur. Right? Is Teshu Kein Tadur merely telling you how to live in your sukkah in the tzura of your dira? Or is it telling you that it has to be a total equivalence to your house? So Abaye says it's telling you total equivalence to your house. You even have to have your wife, even the wife has to be there. At least in the half meaning of that, halacha Moshe Misinai. And likewise, earlier we saw a different shatam. I'm not going to chazer them now. It's exactly what Abaye meant. But also, it meant that it has to be an exact replica of your house. And Rava thinks that no, Teshu Kein Tadura just means you have to try to live there in a normal way of living, not that it has to be an exact replica of your house. The interesting thing here, of course, is the question of what's the maskana. Here, the Magen Avraham already asked this kasha. Here the Gemara says, Teshu Kein Tadur, women is only a havamina, right? But it's not the maskana. The maskana is we don't say Teshu Kein Tadur to include women. The question is, what to do about the Gemara in Erechin? Like, is this true in the end? Right? Do I have to bring my wife into the sukkah, or do I not have to bring my wife into the sukkah? It seems from here that I don't bring my wife into the sukkah. The men go into the sukkah, and the women stay home, right? Which is, I mean, not... Doesn't sound so crazy to us, right? Probably everywhere we've been, when it comes bedtime, all the men go into the sukkah and all the women stay home, right? Okay, eating shkayach. It's always pleasant to eat out on the deck. When push comes to shove, the sleeping, as it were, separates the men from the boys in Hilchos Sukkah. So the women decide they're neither men nor boys and stay in the house.
But that's not so pashut. The Ramah Paskins in Siman Tav Reish Lamed Tes says, if possible, the proper way to do the mitzvah is for someone to have a sukkah miyuched, that's a private sukkah, and he should sleep there with his wife. Okay? What is the Magen Avraham already asked? What do you do with this Gemara? So this all depends on how you interpret the Gemara in Erechim. We discussed this once before. We will just briefly chazer it. The Gemara in Erechim had a havamina that, right, had a havamina that Kohanim are potter from sukkah. Why is that? They write the Gemara in Erechim. Remember, we learned Erechim once, right? The Gemara in Erechim says, Kohanim besukkah, Kohanim levim yisraelim. Why didn't you tell us Kohanim levim yisraelim chayim in sukkah? It says, yeah, you might not have any Kohanim were potter. Why? Because Teshu came to Duru, Madira Ishva Ishto, of Sukkah Ishva Ishto, Bahani Kohanim hold Neavoda Nenhu Lola Chayvu, Kohanim or Neavoda. The simple shot is, it means they can't engage in conjugal relations because of the Thomas Kerry, because they have to do Avoda. So they can't be with their wives, so maybe they're Potter from Sukkah. Come Ashwan, Nehidu Potter B'Shas Avoda, Taka, they're Potter B'Shas Avoda, but they're not Potter Shalom B'Shas Avoda. Okay, so clearly, at least in the Havamina here, we have Ishva Ishto, right? Dear Ishva Ishto. So why is that even a Havamina? There's Halacha Moshe Misinai against that. So I think there are a few different ways to explain, let's just chazer, what is this Havamina of Ishva Ishto, Pater and Kohanim, in Erechim. So first of all, the Shittim Gubetzes had a different Gersa there. Also the Masorah Shashat puts it on the side, named Sfar Machirim, Rene Gersa, seems to have both yourselves. He had a different Gersa that says it never said that in Erechim. Right? It says that in our printed Gemara's in Erechim. Shittim Gubetzes didn't have that Gersa. He says, no, it had nothing to do with man and wife. The Havamina was this. Havamina, Teshu came to Duru, just like Pesach Omwe Teshvu Yomam V'Layim Shivas Yom is day and night. Since the Kohanim can't sit in their sukkah during the day because they're doing avodah, you can't do avodah in a sukkah, you might have a havamina in their potter at night also. Okay, so you potter Kohanim. So according to the Gersa Shittim Gubetzes, it didn't say anything about Ishva Ishto there. It's all a red herring. There is no thing about Ishva Ishto. It's very clear. It's a havamina here, and the Halacha Moshe Sinai tells us there's no Ishva Ishto. So in terms of what it actually says in Erechim, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where it says Teshvu Ke'ein Taduru Ish V'Ishto. So, isn't that a steer to our Gemara? So, one is the Gersa Shita Mekubetzes, which says that it never said that. Okay, that then it's a non-issue. No, that was never the Havamina Pater Kohanim because they're wives. There's a lot of kashas on that Havamina anyway. And so if someone's wife is in need of their Pater from Sukkah, so an Avel is Pater from Sukkah, we know an Avel is Chayim in Sukkah, even though he's not Sartash from Amita. Okay, so he says, no, that was a silly half. Of course they never said anything about that. That was talking about day and night. Because most people can sit in the Sukkah day and night. Kohanim can't be there during the day, so you might have a Havamina Pater them at night. Oh, okay, Kamash one, they're still Chayim. However, that's not Rashi's Gersa, that's not Tosis Gersa. Gersa have both Gersas. That's a Rashi and Tosis Gersa. So let's assume we have that Gersa. Then we have to ask, what's the Havamina and what is the Maskana? So one way to say that's the Gersa Shittim Gubetzes never said that. The second derech is the derech of the Ramah. Says the Ramah. I mean, Ramah doesn't say. Ramah just Paskin. Says the Ramah. He says, if someone can't sleep with his wife, then there is some debate. I'm not going to get into it in the later acronym. It's actually, does sleep with his wife mean in the literal sense or the euphemistic sense? The Pashto Pshat in Erechim is actually from a Tashra Shemitah, although there are some acronyms say, no, it just means like, you know, being, in the same room together. But says the Ramah is looking to explain how come no one slept in the sukkah in his days. Okay, Baruch Hashem, nowadays we came back to Eretz Yisrael, and we're no longer in the Polish winter, and it's very common that people are not going to sleep in the sukkah. In the Ramah's days, he says, only the medaktik of a mitzvah slept in the sukkah. Right? He says, only the frumi slept in the sukkah in the Ramah's days. The hamonam didn't. So, okay, nowadays, if only the frumi slept in the sukkah, not the hamonam, so people would say, okay, so the hamonam aren't frumi. But in the Ramah's days, they were still old-fashioned and, didn't believe in that.
So he said, there must be a good reason. So what's the good reason that the Hamanam doesn't sleep in the Sukkah? So he says, first Havmina is because it's too cold. Mitzdar because of the cold. You know, which historically seems like a good hesber to me, especially since, you know, like, now more people sleep in the Sukkah in Eretz Yisrael than did in Poland. The stomach's it's nice weather. Okay, but in the end, that's not the Ramah's main shot. The Ramah says, no, it's because Madira Ishva Ishto, there's a p'tur if you're not sleeping with your wife. He says, we can't sleep in the Sukkah because we don't have tznias to sleep with your wife in the Sukkah. And therefore, you're pater because of Ishva Ishto. Meaning, he says, this Havamina, the pater Kohanim, because they can't sleep with their wives, is not a Havamina. It's a Maskana. Taka, you're pater from sleeping in the Sukkah if you can't sleep with your wife. It's a Maskana. It's not just a Havamina. And that's why he thinks you're pater, and that's what he says. But if you can make a Sukkah for your wife, then you should. So says the Ramah, he says very Pashut, he says that the Havamina in Erechin is that Kohanim are Pturim because they are not with their wives. What is the Maskana? It says, even the Maskana you're Pater if you're not with your wife. So how does that fit? The Maskana is the Kohanim were Chayavim. How does he read the Maskana? The Maskana is be'idin avoda p'tiri, shelo be'idin avoda chayavim. He says be'idin avoda. What's the exact lashon? B'shas avoda p'tiri b'shas avoda. Right. Is that turim b'shas avoda? Meaning on the nights, on work nights, right? Avodah is really not work, it's really service, right? On work nights, that's too confusing, put on the board, he says, on the night, or Tir Mishas Avodah, when are in Yerushalayim for Avodah, they are Peturim. So what's the Kamash like Kohanim or Chayavim? They're Chayavim, though, if they're not doing Avodah. Let's say nowadays, unfortunately, there's no Beis HaMikdash, right? The last 2,000 almost years. Or even time of the Mikdash, if they were, they couldn't make it to Yerushalayim, to the Mikdash. Oh, the Lila Regal, okay, but a lot of people put the Lila Regal. Maybe the guy's lame, maybe the guy's sick, maybe, who knows the case, maybe he doesn't own karka, many shitas. And, but, when they are not in Yerushalayim for Avoda, Chayavim, meaning for the Ramah, the Shakla Vatario is not about the Havnaskana, it's not about whether they're Pater when they're camping by the Misa Mikdash and going to the Mikdash to Avoda. No, Pasha they're Pater, they can't be with their wives. The Havnaskana is, do we make a loop, not a loop plug, but a general rule that Kohanim, the Dori Doros Bigvulin from Hodu Viad Kushar Pater, because some Kohanim go to the Mikdash and can't be Ishva Ishto, all Kohanim are Pater? But says, no, that's ridiculous. Only when they're in the Mikdash, they're Pater, they can't be with their wives. But if they're in Tinek, then they're Chayav because they can't be with their wife. Okay, so it was a weak Havamina, having a Pater all Kohanim because of some Kohanim. Or, talking about all Kohanim because of what ideally Kohanim should be doing, right? All Kohanim, even in Tinek, even Zman Korban, because ideally all Kohanim should be in Yerushalayim, we should have a Beis HaMikdash. Kamash Mulan not. And therefore, the Nafkamina is, you know what, Chesky, I'm going to need your help, I apologize. Nafkamina is of this Ramah, is that Bizman Hazeh, he thinks you're Potter if you can't sleep with your wife in the Sukkah. However, the Rashi and Tosmos and the Gra agrees, we all know, the Gra is famous for being very strict about sleeping in the Sukkah. The Gra read this Gemara differently. The Gra read this Gemara and he pointed out it's not like his kiddush to read the Gemara because he wants to be makban sleeping in the Sukkah. It says, Mefurish Rashi and Tosos. What does Rashi and Tosos say? Rashi and Tosos say, and Tosos quotes Rashi, so I'll read you Rashi. Rashi says, Kamashlan, da'afgad lo'efshu came to Dur, even though they can't do came to Dur and they can't be with their wives, They have to do as much as they can. Meaning, he can't sleep with his wife in the sukkah, but he has to do as much as he can sleep alone in the sukkah. You know, you're right. He sleeps with his wife in the sukkah, but he can't because of avoda. But he still has to sleep. If you can't do full teshuvah to duru, you should at least do partial teshuvah to duru. You still have to sleep on your own in sukkah. Says the Grav based on Rashi Tosos. Now, okay, if you want, you could go into Rashi and Tosos and see if you want to have another shot. But I think Grav's posh pshat on Rashi and Tosos. If you says the Grav based on Rashi and Tosos, he says. One second, sorry. Yes, he says no. The havamina is that kohanim are pturim because they can't be with their wives. And it's not teshu ke'in toduru. That's the havmina. What is the maskana? The maskana is, what's the maskana? The maskana is, no, just a different way of interpreting p'turim b'shas avoda versus shelo b'shas avoda chayavim. And this is the key. The key is, what is shelo b'shas avoda? Says the Grav based on Rashi Tosos. He says, b'shas avoda p'turim. And this is also obviously the Shidduch Metzah, let's say, during the day while serving. During the day, b'shas avoda doesn't mean when they're camped in Yerushalayim. It means during the daytime when they're working the Beis HaMikdash, they're potter. But shelo b'shas avoda chayavin means at night. Even when camped in Yerushalayim, they're chayavin. Even when camped in Yerushalayim. And why are they chayav at night? So here Rashi told us to say why they're chayav at night. Says Rashi, even though you can't do full teshuvah kein toduru, you should at least do partial teshuvah kein toduru. Right? Why? So they say, because even though you can't do full teshu ke'en taduru, you have to do as much as you can. You can't do full teshu ke'en taduru because he can't be with his wife. But he should at least do partial teshu ke'en taduru and be there without his wife, right? He should do what he can. Okay, nafkamina here. One second. I can erase, right? The last one. The two interesting nafkaminas, let's see, are, I'm going to have to room for another shot. I'll have to figure that out. But first nafkamina, this is the machlok between the Gra and the Rama, is, are you putter if there's no privacy for your wife? You have a sukkah. There's privacy enough for your wife to eat, shkoich. But there's no privacy for your sleep with your wife. Are you potter from sukkah? There's no privacy for your sleep with your wife. Says the Rama, you're potter. That's the whole point of this shot. He says, we learn from here that if you can't be with your wife, you're potter. Because teshvi can dedur ishva ishto. Oh, that was only a havmina? No, the havmina was the potter the kohen in tinek because the kohen Yerushalayim couldn't be with his wife. And the gamash one is not only the guy who can't be with his wife is potter. But Taka, you can't be with the wife, you're potter. According to the Gersh of the Shibu Gubetz, of course not. There wasn't even a havmina to potter. The wives weren't even discussed there. And, according to the Gra, he says, Chayiv. No, the havmina is the potter if you can't be with your wife, but the Gamash one is, even if you can't be with your wife, you're still Chayiv. So you can't do full Teshu Kain to do, do partial Teshu Kain to do. The other nafkamina is, that's the first half of the Ramah. The other nafkamina is the second half of the Ramah. If you can, do you have to bring your wife into the sukkah, right? Lechatchila, they have to sleep with your wife in the sukkah. The Lashon HaRama was. Someone remind me. You know, the. Who has a good memory here? I'm the most absent-minded person I ever met. Chezi. Call me at home. Remind me to. I have 8 extra Mishnah Berurah at home. Remind me to put a Mishnah Berurah into my tick so we can leave it here. Says the Rama, you'll have to take my word. First, says the Rama, mitzvah min amavchar, that you should make a private sukkah and sleep with your wife. Right? So, do you have to? Lechatchila, are you chayav to sleep with your wife in the sukkah? Lechatchila, you're chayav to sleep with your wife in the sukkah. Is there Ishva Ishto telling you at least lechatchila sleep with your wife in the sukkah? So, according to the Gersh, it should go bad. Says, no. The Gemara never said anything about Ishva Ishto. Ishva Ishto does not appear in the Gemara. The only place Ishva Ishto appears is in Sukkah, where there's a halacha Moshe V'Sinai against it, in our daf. Ishva Ishto doesn't appear in Erechin. So for sure, no. But according to Ramah, he says before, Ishva Ishto means Teshuvah can do Ishva Ishto. Yes, of course you are. And even according to Rashi and Tosfos, what's the lashon of Rashi here in the Maskana? Rashi says, of course the Mechiv Teshuvah can do to sleep with your wife in the Sukkah. It's just that if you can't do the full thing, you have to do a due partial. But says, so according to Rashi, it's clear that you are chayiv. The lashon of Rashi was the avgad lo eshul came to duru. Even though these kohanim can't do came to duru, kihech the eshul lechayvi. Whatever they can do, they should. They can't do came to do with their wives, but they should at least do what they can. But it's clear that if you can do teishu came to do with your wife, you have to bring your wife into the sukkah. Okay, what does that mean? So the Rama apparently doesn't think it means that you have to build your own sukkah if you can't afford to. Right? He says, if possible, you should build your own private sukkah. So don't worry, it's not as big a chumrah as it sounds. It doesn't mean that if you live in Gross and there's a Gross sukkah, that you have to build your own sukkah, even if you do build your own sukkah, if you build in the middle of the chatzer, so it's not a good place to sleep with your wife. It doesn't mean you have to, like, go buy a private area in the middle of a forest and go build a sukkah there to be with your wife, if it's not reasonable. The Rama admits that, no, you're not chayiv to go to crazy lengths in order to be chayiv this. But, if possible, right? And it's interesting, why not? After all, what if sukkahs are expensive? I still have to spend a lot of money to buy a sukkah. Could be that maybe, because we're call yourself a sukkah achas, that you're in the race, you just have to have a shared sukkah with people. You're not trying to build a private sukkah if it's too hard for you. Okay, but whatever the reason is, that, but if you can build a private sukkah, you have to bring your wife into the sukkah, and forget about that. What if you already do have a private sukkah? There are people who have sukkahs right off their bedroom. What if you do have a private sukkah? So, do you have to put a bed there for your wife and bring her into the sukkah? Right? So, according to Rama, it seems like you do, right? If you can, you have to build a private sukkah and sleep with your wife in the sukkah. Right? You have to bring your wife. That's dira, ishva ishto. Right? What kind of dira is it to be a bachelor? Right? I don't mean to insult anyone here, but you know what I'll say about bachelorhood? That shari below isha is shari below, etc., etc., etc. Brandon is not even called Adam, so what kind of deer is that? So that's the question of Maram Chalava that I'll mention in a second. But at least that's the half meaning of the Maram Chalava. It's not called deer if you're a bachelor. That's not living. That's not a life. So you have to bring your wife into the sukkah. According to Rama, Taka, forget about that. I'm not talking about guys in Gross. Guys in Gross, how are they going to find a sukkah for their wife? You know, just there's no place to build a sukkah for their wife. But a guy in, not the guy in an apartment building in Tel Aviv makes a sukkah down in the street, maybe. But a guy in a frat or a long shvat, or, you know, everyone has a private sukkah and everyone has a merpeset. I know people who have a sukkah, mamish, right outside their bedroom. So it's not enough for you to go in the sukkah. You have to bring your wife in the sukkah too. That's the Ramah. And that even comes out of the Gra. The Gra and the Ramah only argue if you can't be with your wife or your potter. But they both admit you have to bring your wife in the sukkah rotation came to the duru. Doesn't our Gemara say lehefech? Doesn't our Gemara say you don't have to bring your wife into the sukkah? Because teishu came to ishva ishto is a havamina halacha mushvisina goes against it. So aren't they against our Gemara? Our Gemara says nice havamina, but halacha mushvisina that it's not ishva ishto. And yet the Rama says mitzvah mufkar that you have to do ishva ishto. And the Gra admits. He just says that if you can't, you have to go by yourself. But he admits you should bring your wife. So what's the obvious answer to this theorem, Aaron?
It's not hachir, it's yochir.
Exactly, right. If you look at Rabbeinu Hananel, in our sugya, says Rabbeinu Hananel, he says, The Kamashwan is that the wife is Potter, the woman is Potter. The Kamashwan is that the of Arsug is the woman is Potter. That doesn't mean the husband is Potter for bringing his wife. The husband still is to bring his wife. Just the wife is Potter. She has no independent obligation. But he still has an obligation to bring her. After all, he has to bring to the sukkah everything he needs in order to live. Right? I have to bring my food to the sukkah. The food's not obligated to go to the sukkah. But I have to leave the food, otherwise they can't live. Right? So likewise, my wife doesn't have to go to the sukkah, but I still need to bring my wife to the sukkah, otherwise I'm not living. Otherwise it's not a life. Otherwise it's not dira. The kamashlan of our gemara is that a single girl doesn't have to go to the sukkah. And even a married woman, mitzad atzma, doesn't have to go to the sukkah. But mitzad her husband has to bring her into the sukkah. And that's exactly what they would have to say, that sukkah, davchav kesamid beis, just means that the wife is petura. The wife is petura herself, right? But the woman doesn't have her own chiyuv. That's what we mean here. But in Erchin, Daf Gimel tells us that the husband is chayav to bring. The husband is chayav to bring his wife. The woman does it wrong. Chayav, the husband is chayav to bring his wife. And therefore, that's an important restriction argument. The Marshut Maram Chalava says explicitly, he says, our sugya in sukkah is not discussing whether you need to live with your wife or not. Our sugya is discussing whether the wife needs to go to the sukkah. It's not whether you need your wife in the sukkah. That's a different discussion. He has a different opinion about that other discussion, but that's exactly what the Maram Chalava says, that our gemara is talking about the Isha's Petura, that has nothing to do with Pilundas, whether she's Petura Petura herself, and whether I have to bring her Petura my Chiv, are two separate questions. One is discussed in Erechin, and one is discussed in Sukkah. They sound like the same Lashon in Erechin and Sukkah, but they mean two different things, Pilundas.
Doesn't this tie together what we learned before about going to visit your Rebbe, because you have to be back in your house during the day you go, but you have to come back at night so you can be with somebody after your wife? So clearly that's telling you that you have to be together with your wife.
Correct. Correct. Although that's not necessarily telling us you have to be together with your wife to be Mekayim Tishu came to Duru. That may be Mekayim Mishamach.
Yeah, this is another reason on top
correct.
Of it.
It's actually interesting. The correct. There's a whole discussion in mostly in the Hasidic Achronin. Can a husband say, if his wife doesn't want to go to the sukkah, he say, Oseg mitzvah, potter min mitzvah, that he's misameach his wife, potter min mitzvah sukkah, he's shulchei mitzvah, he's misameach his wife. So there are many poskim say, no, you can't say that. Some poskim say, you can't say that. Some poskim say, you can only say that in Shana Rishona, because of the simach is ishto, but not because of samach batal beisecha, maybe like the Rambam, that we don't pass the samach batal beisecha. Okay, whole discussion. Of course, if the wife's happy to go to the sukkah, if the wife wants to go to the sukkah, then of course that doesn't apply. If the wife goes to the sukkah, means we have her in the sukkah. Okay, so the wife doesn't have to go to the sukkah, but the husband has to bring his wife to the sukkah. Don't ask me the practical question of, what if she says, I don't want to go to the sukkah because I'm putter, and he says, well, I want you to go to the sukkah because I'm chayim. Who wins? So that is a separate question. Yeah, so common sense, if this was true, common sense would dictate that if she has to make a reasonable accommodation to go with her husband, even though she's potter, because part of being married is that she has to be misayeh him to do mitzvah saseh. Okay, now, what everyone's thinking here now.
Bring her night, not one set of nights are closed, two set of nights are closed. You know, to tell her that.
All right.
Also, it's similar to the Puruvu itself.
Yeah, exactly. She can't tell her husband, I'm not interested in Puruvu because I'm potter. He'd say, if you weren't interested in Peru, you could have been single once you get married. That's obviously implies that you're going to help me do my mitzvah say. Okay, the problem is, of course, the Minhag HaOlam is totally not like either the Gra or the Ramah. We all know the Minhag HaOlam among very, very from people as well as the very Hamun Am is that people really are not mocked at all in bringing their wife into the sukkah. Okay, I know some people who are mocked on this. Well, Mamish, like the Ramah and the Gra sound like Rashi and Tosafot sound that Erech can say the wife's putter, but the husband's chayav to bring his wife. So when you were single, you were putter. If I'm not here, you're putter. Fine. And you're, even when I'm here, Potter, but still I need to bring you, you need to help me do my mitzvah, because after all, I can't have Dira without you. So I know some people are makbid, have sukkah miyuchedis, and to bring your wife into the sukkah, but that is not the minhag olam. Not everyone has little children. Or maybe give your wife a break, go to the sukkah, you won't hear the little children, right? Hey, you come to me, I have lots of child-rearing advice, right? The best way to keep a kid from crying is to turn on a radio. Turn on a radio, you won't hear the kid crying, everyone will be happy. So go to the sukkah, also the kid won't cry. Tell me, go to the sukkah, you won't hear anything. So therefore, they can both sleep through the night. Developing. The baby is gonna, something terrible is gonna happen if he cries and no one comes to him in the middle of the night, depending on the circumstances. But in most cases, he'll be just fine. He'll just go back to sleep. Okay, obviously using common sense. But anyway, back to our regular scheduled programming. The Minhag Olam is not like either of these, Pshatim. The Minhag Olam is not like either of these. It's clearly that we don't feel any chiyuv to bring our wife to the sukkah. Maybe some yechidim are machmir. But there's no, to the best of my knowledge, what I've seen, there's no sect of Orthodox Judaism where they're all machmir to bring their wife into the sukkah, even if they can afford a sukkah miyuchedes. Even people who can afford a nice private sukkah, they still don't bring their wife into the sukkah. And lots of people can afford a private sukkah. There are lots of people who have sukkahs off their bedroom. There are lots of people who, you know, who a couple lives alone and has a nice sukkah in their yard and they have privacy and whatever. And they never bring their wife into the sukkah. So, what's pshat? What's pshat in this Gemara in Eretin? So you could say they don't like the Shidduch Gebetzes, but that's no one who would even invest in that Gersa in Eretin. We have two pshat that either the Havmin was the Kohanim are Potter in Tinek, because they can't be with their wives in Yerushalayim. Kamashlan, they're only Potter in Yerushalayim, because they have to be with their wife. Or the Havmin is, they have to be with their wife, and if they can't do all, they should do nothing. Come on, if you can't do all, do partial. But you still have to be with your wife. That's what Rashi says. Ke'ain't a durus with your wife. So, what's pshat? The Maron Kolob's question was, is it called dira to be without a wife? Now, his funny question, like, he doesn't say what the question is. We're missing the question. Either a guy made a neder or a shvua or a contract that he would be dar someplace for a certain amount of time. Does it count if he goes without his wife? Okay, I don't know if that's the same question in terms of loshem b'nei adam as peshu ke'ain't a durus for sukkah. One might be a different standard than the other, but that's the question. So I think what you have to say, and this might be what the Magen Avraham means. The Magen Avraham says, what about Masechta Sukkah? There is no Diras Ishva Ishto. Then it's not clear what he answers, but the way the Mishnah Brura and most of them understand the Magen Avraham's answer, the Magen Avraham says, he says, there is no such thing as Ishva Ishto. Ma pitom Ishva Ishto. Sukkah that Professor Bey says, Abaye had a Havmin Ishva Ishto. Rabbah didn't even have a Havmin. Abaye da Havmin Ishva Ishto, and Halacha Moshe Sinai Mafkia Ishva Ishto. So there is no Ishva Ishto Dira. So what's going on here? So the Magen Avraham says, he says, Ataka, you're right. There's no din of Ishva Ishto. Just if you miss your wife, so you're a mitzayir. Say, if it's hard for you without your wife, you're a mitzayir. Okay, but if you're okay without your wife, that's what Mishnah Berurah is based on Magen Avraham. Taka, if you can't bring your wife to the sukkah and it's very hard for you, then you're a mitzayir. But if you can't bring your wife to the sukkah and you're okay, then the Seder, you don't need your wife for Diras Ishva Ishto. Now, obviously, we feel bad for people, says the Mishnah Berurah. He says, okay, in some circumstances, maybe Taka, you should go in the house and it's hard without your wife. In some circumstances, it's easy, maybe it depends as well. Oh, no, whatever the cheshbonos are. But, you know, most people nowadays, you know, okay, we generally, Chazal, we're very romantic, we try to be romantic, but we're also realistic. You can go a couple of nights and you can sleep, in the backyard with your wife in the house and you'll be okay. It's not the end of the world, right? You won't be miserable. So therefore, says the Magen Avraham, let's just, really here is 3.1. I think the Magen Avraham is a noob shot. Now, I don't know if he tries to stick this into Rashi Yotosos. He doesn't say what he does with the Rishonim. Okay, I don't know what he does with the Rishonim. You know, maybe he'll find some other Rishon to hang it on. But the Magen Avraham says it. The Magen Avraham says it's good enough for me. He says, let's call it 3.2. 3.2, Magen Avraham, says the Magen Avraham, he says, no, there is no drush of Ishva Ishto. There is no drush of Ishva Ishto. He says, Sukkah Chavches teaches us, that there is no drasha of Teshvu Ke'ein taduru ish v'ishto. There is no din of ish v'ishto. That's what Sukkah Chavkes teaches us. Meaning, he has a machlokas with Ramah and the Gra over how to be mefarish our Gemara in Sukkah Chavkes and Beis. They say our Gemara just means a woman is no chiyuv. The man might still have a chiyuv to bring his wife. He says no. This proves that the dira of Sukkah is a dira of maleness. The dira of Sukkah is a men's space. That's what it teaches us. It's a normal dira might or may not include having a wife. Okay, but the dira of Sukkah is Allah Moshe Mishinai. Why? I wouldn't have said it on my own. It's Allah Moshe Mishinai. Yeah, obviously Hashem had good reasons. Hashem told Moshe on Sinai, I know it's nice to live in a family unit. The husband and wife sharing a bedroom. But in Sukkah, I'm giving you a special rule that that's a male kind of space dira. It's not usher the wife to go in the Sukkah. But the point is, it's not a requirement in any sense. That's what he says. His teaching to do means there is no drush of yours ish for ishto. And therefore, says the Magen Avraham, not says, but implies Magen Avraham, no, there's no chiyuv even the chachila to bring your wife in the Sukkah. Why not? Isn't that a better dira? No, because the halacha must be seen. I said not to. Because the halacha must be seen. I said not to. No, because Sukkah chafches means that diras sukkah equals diras gevarim. I don't mean, don't misinterpret me. I don't mean it has to be like a locker room and men, joke around and women aren't allowed. That's not what I mean. I mean diras gevarim, that there's no requirement to have women there. No one says usher have women in the sukkah. But, says my Nevram, no, it's a special halacha must be seen, that this dira is a dira of men, counts, is a good enough dira here. And therefore, I think the Magen Avraham explains our Minhag HaOlam. The Minhag HaOlam don't mock between the wife and the Sukkah at all, even if they have a Sukkah Miuchedes. Why? Because they understand not like we said for the Ramah and the Gra, that our Gemara patos her qua her, the Torah's her, but she's all chayim, the Torah's him. No, our Gemara patos women entirely. It's just this is not a dira that includes women. This is there are some things in Judaism that are different for men and women, that are special for men or special for women. So this is something special for men. Of course, according to the Magen Avraham, what would seem to come out, and basically, what do I mean this? Why? What do I mean by 3.2? I mean, he would read the Gemara in Erechin the same way as Rashi and Tosfos in the Gra until the end. The Hamin is going to work through, they can't read the wives and the Tateshu came to Duru. Kamaskane is, no, during the day when they're busy bringing Karbat, they can't, they're part of the Sukkah, but at night they have to sleep in a Sukkah. Why? They can't read their wives? Not because they should have been with their wife, but at least do half. No, because there's no inyan to be with your wife at all. There is no even lechachil teshmi to do. It would seem for the Magen Avraham, of course, that are you potter if there's no privacy for your wife? Of course not, because there's no ish v'ishto. However, the Magen Avraham here thinks it throws in a curveball for this nafkamina. He would say, theoretically, of course you're chayev if you have no privacy for your wife, because there is no ish v'ishto. But if you're mitzvah, then you're potter, and says the Mishnah Berurah, then it would depend on circumstances. The Magen Avraham does say it depends on circumstances. Sometimes you're mitzvah, sometimes you're not. I don't know. There are some guys who like the bachelor time. There are some guys who miss their wives very much. There are some, it depends on circumstances. I'm theoretically chayev. The Mishnah Berurah says it depends on circumstances. But there might be a theoretically chayev. But there might be a side tour of mitzvah. Okay, so if you're mitzvah, you're mitzvah. That depends on the circumstances. Okay, so I think that the Minhag HaOlam is clearly like the Magen Avraham here. The Mishnah Berurah seems to imply we hold like the Magen Avraham. Again, in terms of the mitzvah part. So I think the Minhag HaOlam is like the Magen Avraham, that this Gemara in Erechin may be the Havmina was Ish V'Ishto, even like the Shivu Gebetzin was never a Havmina. Or maybe the Havmina is Ish V'Ishto. And the Kamashulon is Halacha Lo Shvisina and not Ish V'Ishto. And therefore, even the Chachila, you don't have to bring your wife in the Sukkah. Okay, like I said, Halacha Maisa, there are those who are Macher like the Ramah to bring the wife into the Sukkah. But in most circles, even very firm people, even very big Talmid Chacham, are not Macher in this, even though they can. They can afford to. They have the structure to. They're not machped on this because the Minhag HaOlam is like the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham, but interesting, it really comes down to a machlokas and our sugya. The yesod is, what does our sugya mean? Does our sugya mean to exclude women from dira are only their part of the women, but Torah's their own chiyuv. Okay, and that has a big enough gemina halacha l'maisa. Okay.
I read with the current Magen Avraham, is he mafkia the vira from women so much, they wouldn't even Ashkenaziyot, wouldn't even make a bracha?
No, no.
He's
mafkia from the required dira. He's just mafkia from the required dira. The required dira does not include women. It's still optional. He's not disconnected from the mitzvah legami. It would be an interesting havamina, but no one says that. Or probably someone always says something, but no one that I've seen says it. Okay, continuing Vayter in the Gemara. Continues in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Vahashta to Amr Tzukah Hilchasa Kral Lomeli. Now that Sukkah's halacha must be seen at women are potter, so what does the Hay of Ha'ezra teach us? L'rabos agerim, right? Now, apparently not everyone has this girsah, right? The Ritva didn't have this girsah, but we do. It's to include geirim sukkah. The hay is for geirim. That's an ambiguous phrase. We might have thought Ezra v'Yisrael means only born Jews and not geirim. Kamashlan from the hay that geirim are chayav. So here we just have a very simple question. I think we can fit on this board. Why is there a havamina that geirim are peturim min hasukkah? Why is there a havamina that geirim are peturim min hasukkah? So, first of all, what does the Ritva say? What does the Ritva here say? And the Ramban says, I'll be pshuto in Al Torah. Trick question. According to the Ritva, why is there a havamina geirim are peturim min hasukkah? Trick question. What? There isn't. I told you it was a trick question. Right? I'm not mean. Here it is. Says the Ritva. V'yei sholem, hey da ezrach lomali. L'ma demotri lo, the rabbi, sorry. Yeah, loma, hey da ezrach lomo, demotri lo, the rabbi, de gerim b'chal yisrov, rov b'kobos. El meet mekomos going out to for your letters. The suet tzurich ubruy gerim mishum the gatayim lemutena hu hacham mishum the chiva Ezra chav mina the asim with the gerim lahachi itzur hey kach tirtu be tosvos v'yesh nuschos shakasav and befirish king. There are some nuschos that have explicitly befirish that why do you need hey the rabbis gerim But apparently, ulfum my deprishna beezrak lomashlam yuta degerim. No, he doesn't think there's any half mina beumai degerim. But nachon dehei lo darshinan. We don't darshin the hay. Obviously, he didn't have this gear. So the Gemara says there's some girsos they ask why do you need the hay and say having the exclude gerim. But says the Ritva and the Ramban, ala Torah al pifshat. He has an interesting lashon. He says pshuta shal mikra al derech hakabala. Pshut shal mikra al derech hakabbalah. What does the Ramban mean by derech hakabbalah? He doesn't mean Kabbalah. In the Rishonim, the word Kabbalah never means Kabbalah. In the Ramban, Kabbalah means besorah. In Rishonim, Kabbalah means besorah. The Rishonim had Kabbalah. They just didn't use the word Kabbalah for it. That's an achronish chiddush. They called Kabbalah sod. And when they said Kabbalah, they didn't mean mysticism. That they called sod. They meant Mesorah. So he says, the Pshat al-Pi Mesorah means not a Pshuta Shalmikra, like, against the Mesorah. The Pshuta Shalmikra al-Pi the Mesorah, meaning what he thinks is a good Pshat within the halachic system, is, because the Torah says many places that the Ger and Ezrach are the same, all over the Chumash. You don't have to write Ger all the time. You don't have a Reba for Ger. There's no Havni to exclude Ger. So the Ramban al-Pi Pshat says, there is no Havamina. There is no Havamina to exclude a Ger. You don't need a Rebu for a Ger. Doesn't say they didn't have their Gers in our Gemara. Okay, but what about our Gers in the Gemara, right? And they, right, didn't have our Gersa. Okay, but according to our Gersa, it says in Mefurish, why did the Havamina exclude Gerim, right? It says, because it says, Ezra for Yisrael. What's ambiguous? What's the Havamina exclude Gerim? From what word? From Ezra to Yisrael. What's ambiguous? Is it Ezra to Yisrael? Right? I don't know, maybe it's not the real Gersa from the Chazal. I would have either written Ezra to Yisrael and been less ambiguous. What does Tosos think? Tosos thinks, L'rabbas Gerim, the Salkadait of Yisrael, the little Gerim. Tosos thinks, obviously, the happening is Yisrael excludes Gerim. Gerim aren't Yisrael. Yisrael excludes Gerim. And then he goes through and he says, ah, and we see every time it says Yisrael excludes Gerim, and there's a few places where Yisrael includes Gerim, it must be that really excluded them. There's just some reboy that we don't have the Masorah of to include them. The Midrash has the opposite approach. It says, no, everything always includes Gerim. Oh, there's a few places where Yisrael excludes Gerim. There must be some meal we don't know about. Right, so they both say, there's like a few sugars in Shas where Yisrael includes Gerim, a few sugars in Shas where it excludes them. Tosa says, it always excludes Gerim. And those sugars, they had a reboy that they just didn't tell us. And the Ritva says, no, it always includes Gerim. Those sugars had a meal they didn't tell us. Okay, so says the Tosos Yisrael excludes Gerim. That is a big chiddush. Meaning, does Yisrael really exclude Gerim? Are Gerim not Yisrael? The truth is, the Afronim discussed, it might be between B'nai Yisrael and Yisrael. Right? But here, it doesn't even say B'nai Yisrael. Right? You might say they're not the sons of Israel. It says Yisrael. They're not Israel. They're not part of the Jewish people. So Tosos thinks Yisrael excludes Gerim. That's a very radical stance. Says the Ritva, though, even the Ritva quotes Tosos, it's different. What does the Ritva say? Says the Ritva, he says, he's quoting Tosos. The Ritva b'shem Tosfos, right? He obviously had a different version of Tosfos, right? Not just like one different Gersa, like the whole point of our Tosfos that Yisrael excludes Gerim. He obviously had a totally different version of Tosfos at his disposal. He says, no, it's Ha'ezrach. Yisrael doesn't exclude Gerim. Ha'ezrach excludes Gerim. And the truth is, if you look at the Mefarshim on Kumish, it sounds that way also. Rashi and Kumish says, Ezrach is Ezrach. Ha'ezrach lo tis anashim. Be Yisrael, the rabbis ha'gerim. Right? Be Yisrael is to be Marbe Gerim. Clearly, Yisrael is not the Havim of my Gerim. Yisrael is what includes Gerim. Ha'ezrach. Zeha Ezrach is a citizen. Is a born citizen. A Ger is not an Ezrach. How do we know a Ger is not an Ezrach? Just Pshuto Shal Mikra. Whenever it says Ezrach, not whenever. Often it says Ha'ezrach Ve'ha'ger. Clearly, Ezrach and Ger are two different things. Like, if you want to know, all you have is a Hebrew Bible. You want to know what word is the opposite of a Ger. You would clearly pick Ezrach, because many places says the Ger and the Ezrach, the Ezrach and the Ger, so they're contrasted. Never says a Ger and a Yisrael, right? So Rashi and Chumash is very clear. Ha'ezrach and the Ramban also. The Ramban quotes a Sifra. Truth is, they're both quoting Sifra. They're just different yourselves in the Sifra. Ezrach the Ha'ezrach. Kol Ha'ezrach the Rabbis Zagirim. But clearly, it's Ezrach the Ha'ezrach. So the Rashi Al HaTorah and the Ramban, Allah Torah, all say no. The Havmin is Ezra. But Yisrael doesn't exclude Gerim. As a matter of fact, going to Rashi, Yisrael includes Gerim. Okay, this is an interesting philosophical machlokas. Does Yisrael exclude Gerim or not? Right? According to the Ritva, the Ramban al-Pipshat, and the Ritva quoting Tosos, and Rashi al-Torah, and Ba'al Torah, Yisrael doesn't exclude Gerim. Ezra Takta excludes Gerim. That's what Ezra means. Ezra means someone is born here. But why should Yisrael exclude Gerim? Gerim or Yisrael? According to Tosfos, Yisrael excludes Gerim. Okay, so what is the... In the end, they're still chayim in the mitzvos based on the drush of the hay. But it's an interesting question in the Havim. You know, theoretically, are Gerim called Yisrael or not? What's the status of a Ger? Is a Ger a regular part of the Jewish people or not? Tosfos thinks, no, a Ger is not Yisrael. You need a reboy for the Ger. While all the other mefarshim, including Ritva's version of Tosfos, say, of course a Ger is Yisrael. A Ger is just as much a part of Klal Yisrael as anyone else. He just, either is no Havim excluded, or he's not an Ezra, because Ezra happens to mean someone born here. Okay, so this is a very interesting, it seems to be a philosophical machlokes, or even technically it's a drasha machlokes. Agav, I'll just point out, if there is a Havimina, so this is a very fascinating machlokes.
Don't we say what's going on? I think the last prick of Kedushin, it definitely is called Kal Gerim versus Kal Yisrael. There's some sort of separation.
Okay, so it's the question what kahal includes.
I'm just saying, like,
right, but it's not Kal Yisrael. There's no word Yisrael there.
It's Kal Gerim versus what?
There it says versus Kahal, and the pasuk says Kahal Hashem.
Okay, no, but now that I remember, definitely some of the Rishonim definitely say that when it just says stamp Kahal or whatever the Kahal.
Okay, so Kahal, you're right. Kahal is its own word, which we're not getting into now. You know, Yesh Lodu with all the words, what it includes. There's Amisecha and there's Achicha and there's Kahal, and you know, we're not getting into it now. We'll just leave it here. I'll just point out, if there was Havamina, what is Marbe Gerim the maskana, right? So our Girsan Lemur is very clear. Our Girsan Lemur is that the hay is mar begerim. I don't have any love this year. Just point out that Girsatenu in the Gemara is the hay of Ha'ezrach, but the Mefarshim of the Torah, quoting different Girsas of the Zifra, have other pshatim, right? Rashi says, Ala Torah, quoting the Zifra, says be Yisrael. I know the Ramban says the Zifra is different, but it's just two Girsas. And the Ramban, Al HaTorah, says Kol HaEzrach from Kol. Okay, so there are different pshatim as to what we're marvi gerim, but I think the more interesting machlokas is what's the havdim in my gerim, whether gerim are called Yisrael or are not called Yisrael. But I admit that we haven't yet discussed kahal. We haven't yet even discussed whether bnei Yisrael is the same as Yisrael or not. Tosos holds it is, but not everyone agrees. Okay, the other thing I'll just point out, the famous ritva that we mentioned before, I'll just point out to you, who asked why we need Ezrach in the end. Why do we need Ezrach in the end? What's Ezrach there? What's it excluding? It's not excluding the Ger, in the end we're married Ger. Or we never had a Hamid excluding Ger. It's not excluding women. Halachos we've seen excludes women. So what is it's not excluding Ketanim. We know Ketanim are Pater from Mitzos. So what is Ezrach? Why do we need Ezrach in the end? So the Ritva says famously, we need Ezrach to teach you not who is Chayiv and who's not Chayiv, but the Tzura of Chayiv and Sukkah, that you're only Chayiv and Sukkah if you're like Ezrach Ranan, if you're comfortable and settled in the Sukkah, not if you're Mitztayer, etc. And he says, really, Ezrach is why we darshan Teshuva came to Duru. We wouldn't have darshan Teshuva means Duru on our own. We would have said Teshuva just means be there. Be there somehow. We only know that it means be there in a way of normal living because of Ezrach, which teaches you normal living. Okay, and we pointed out that the Ramban al Torah has two pshatim as to why you need Ezrach. His first one is that you need Ezrach to teach you that everyone has to be there, not just the head of the household. The whole family has to be there, not just the head of the household, which is a funny havelina. It's an interesting question. Like, what's the havni that Ephemi the Abaya should be dar the sukkah? That one member of the household should go into the sukkah. Is even, I'm not sure why you have that havamina. Any one of them may buy it. He doesn't even say it has to be the Abba. That someone has to go dwell in the sukkah. So you need Ezra, everyone has to. Aaron?
Yes, when you think about it, in the Midbar, we talk about, because we had a discussion about 600,000 people in the Midbar that are counted, we're only counting the head of the household there.
Okay, it's funny. If he had said the head of the household, I would have had an easier time. But he said echad mi'bayis. Okay, and his second shot is that Ezra comes to exclude travelers, holchi drachim, which is not exactly the same as the Ritva. The Ritva says it comes to exclude all mitzayir. For him, it's for the Ramban, it could be that no, mitzayir is darshan and teshuvah can do on its own. A traveler is not mitzayir. Mitzayir means someone who has trouble in the sukkah. That you're potter without Ezra. This just means you have no trouble in the sukkah, you just want to go on a business trip. So who says you're allowed to stop want to go on a trip? Ha'ezrach, only someone who's at home has to go on the sukkah. Someone who's on a trip, it's pater from the sukkah. Okay, so we have free pshatim in ha'ezrach l'maskana, because it's not m'mayit any type class of people. Either the Ramban's first one, that it's really there for kol ha'ezrach. Ha'ezrach is there in order to have kol ha'ezrach, to teach the whole family and not just representative. Or the Ramban says to exclude someone on a business trip, that you're allowed to choose to be on a business trip and not be an Ezrach, or to be an Ezrach and be Chayiv. The Ritva takes the Ramban further and says, no, it means Teshuva Kein Tadura. This teaches you that you have to live the way you live at home. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. Says, Yom Kippur and Rabbi Yehuda Marav Nafka. Isn't Yom Kippur, we know from Rabbi Yehuda Marav, that women are Chayiv and only Surin. We knew of mitzvah that women have to fast on Yom Kippur, but the mitzvah say called Tosefes Inoy with no punishment. There's not an Isser. You have to start Yom Kippur early. So Sakleich, I mean, a whole meat or chalom Tosefes Inoy may onus as haralon chayv noshim klav. You might have thought since there's no azhara, there's no lav in Tosefes Inoy, and there's no punishment in Tosefes Inoy, so it's just a mitzvah say. It's not an Isser. If it's just a mitzvah say, shes man grama women are potter from. So kamash one from haezrach that women are chayiv, and that's the real drasha. Then the Gemara continues. Nashim avodin katan purim nesukah. Kol rabbis katanim. Kol includes katanim. That's the drasha that we just mentioned. Avatan nashim avodin katan purim nesukah. Don't you katan repato? Lo kashi katan katan shigilachinach. Katan katan shlo yilachinach. Now, a katan below chinach is pater. A katan above chinach is chayev. Kachish gilachinach yarbanu. How can you say a kachish gilachinach is chayik of kol? Kachish gilachinach is only a din rabbanan that you have to get the ketanim. We mentioned this chakira. Either you have to get the kachish gilachinach do mitzvahs, or that the kachish gilachinach has to do mitzvahs. Only rabbanan. The answer is you're right. In a chanami, midi rabbanan across machlebi almahu. So really, midi raisa ketanim are pachul gamrei. And the kol is marbe a katan shigilachinach midi rabbanan. It's an asmachta. All right.
Isn't it funny that the Gemara comes up with its new Hagdara of Kodesh Sheh and Giel HaKinach? Could it just, as the easy, a Mishnah literally says in the next line that Kodesh Sheh and Tzorah Imo Chayef, so why didn't it just, it could have just answered with the Mishnah Hagdara rather than coming with its own?
Right, so I'm not sure if I can actually answer your question or just deny your question. Because Rashi already tells us that Kodesh Sheh HaKinach and Kodesh Sheh and Tzorah Imo is the exact same thing. Right, that is the Shir Yilachinach. So they're saying the same thing. They're just saying, why do they say it in different words than the Mishnah does? Why not in the same words as the Mishnah? So the only thing I could think of is that they're trying to tell us this is why. Because they're trying to tell us what lies behind the Mishnah. The Mishnah depends if he needs his mother or not. Why? You don't know why. Who knows? Maybe it's part of Halachim Shmi Sinai that whoever's connected to mothers is Pachim. You don't know. So the Gemara tells you, no, it's because if he needs his mother, he's not Higilachinach. If he doesn't need his mother, he is Higilachinach. And the line between Ketanim is based on whether Higilachinach or not. So it needs to tell us the Svar behind the Mishnah. And why Dafka here doesn't have to tell us the Svar behind the Mishnah? Because if the Mishnah had a different Svar, it might have been Doraisa. But now that I know the svar behind the Mishnah of Chinuch, I know it's the Rabbanan, and that's necessary as the Kasha. So it really is necessary to say this. Okay. The Gemara continues. Kadosh Dein Tzarech Le'imo. Hei Chidami Kadosh Dein Tzarech Le'imo. Amri, what do you mean, Eino Tzarech Le'imo? Meaning, everyone needs their mother. To some extent or another. Amri, Devei Rav Yanai. Kol Shenif Nevein Imo Mekanachto. Okay, that if he moves his bowels, he doesn't need his mother to help him wife. Wipe. That is Eino Tzarech Le'imo. And the Reish Lakish says, Kol Shenir Mishenoso Ve'Eino Kor Ima. Whoever wakes up and doesn't cry for his mother. No. The Gemara says, can't be Gedol Nami Kari. No. Even big kids sometimes want their Imo. I have kids, they're 9, 10, they still want their Imo in the middle of the night. So, but obviously they're not Patra from Sukkah. No, Eino Kol Shenir Ve'Eino Kor Ima Ima. No, if the guy calls his mother a little, okay, everyone, you're in a difficult enough situation. If you're 50, you're calling for your mother. You go to the Machlakota Yoldot, and you see grown women calling for their mother. Okay, if you're 9, you call for your mother, and if your mother's not there, you go back to sleep, and you're still there on your own. However, if you're 3, you keep crying until your mother comes, and that's Kori Ima Ima, and that's really needing your mother, and then your potter from Sukkah. Okay, so we see here the shear of Chinuch for Sukkah is the assumption being the mother's not in the sukkah, right? Which, by the way, the assumption is that the mother's not in the sukkah. Why is the mother not in the sukkah? So this works well. This is a good right for the Magen Avraham, the Midrash Olam. Mestama, the mother's not in the sukkah, right? Mestama, the mother's not in the sukkah. You know, you're not going to say only if she's an almana, she's not in the sukkah. No, mestama, there's a father and a mother, and the father's in the sukkah, and the mother isn't. Like the Magen Avraham, and this is a good raya for the Midrash Olam. Why is this a shear? So Tosfos tells us here, this is a big sugya, but not really for now, that the shear for chinuch, according to Tosfos and almost all Rishonim, the shear across the board for chinuch mitzvos is when you're old enough to do it. When you're old enough to do it on your own. What do you mean old enough to do it? Meaning katan yidelis atev chai betzitzis. I can always be atev the katan, right? But no, when he knows how to be atev on his own, he's chai betzitzis. Katan yidelis nanea is chai belulav. I can always help him be nanea. No, so when he has to know on his own how to be menanea. So therefore, the shear of chinuch is when the katan could do it on his own. So what does it mean do it on his own? The chiddush bar gemara is it doesn't mean do it on your own, like just physically do it on your own. It means be able to do it on your own and handle it normally. And, without any, do it within normal lifestyle without suffering. And therefore, if the katan needs his mother, he can't do it on his own. If he doesn't need his mother, then he's old enough to do it on his own, and that's the normal shear Tosfos says here. According to Tosfos and Rov Rishonim, the shear in Chinuch and Kol Torah Kula is not any particular age, it's when you're old enough to do it on your own. So, Now the Gemara continues. Mai says, Agav, there's a whole deal here I didn't want to get into because I want to finish the parak soon. I think Rabbi Miller already finished the parak, so I'm trying to keep up, catch up a little. There's a whole deal in here. What age is when the katan's old enough? First of all, do Reish Lakish and Dvei Rav Yannai argue? Most Rishonim assume that they're really describing the same age. That's what it sounds like in the Gorin Erevin. Basically, Gorin Erevin, a whole discussion. How old is a kid? How many years old is a kid typically when he is this getter? Is it 6? Is it 4 or 5? Is it 5 or 6? Okay, if you want, you look in the Rambam, look in the Sekalim. There is a lot of confusion about that issue, but we're not going to get into it now. I hope you'll forgive me. The Gemara then continues. Mais v'yolda kolosso. Mais alistor. This mais contradicts Allah. And all the Mepharshim say, it doesn't mean Shammai like has a chumrah. Like, oh, he had a personal chumrah. No, it means he holds a different shita. Shammai shita is more machmir. We follow Hillel shita, the Chachamim shita. That cotton sarkli emo's potter. But Shammai was machmir, and Shammai said, even cotton sarkli emo is chayev. V'maisen nami, v'yolda kolosho, Shammai v'zokein, v'pichis, v'maziva, v'sika chalamita, v'shvel ha-cotton. Okay, so why would Shammai hold that a katan whose tzarech le'imo is chayev in sukkah? Right? What's pshat in Shammai? So the Rishonah bring two explanations of Shammai. No, I think we can stick it in here. The green will just be, right? Shammai hazaken. There are two explanations of Shammai. The Ritva brings them both, if I recall correctly. And the Ritva's first explanation and the Ra'ah. Right, so the Ra'ah and the Ritva's first explanation. And the Ritva say, it's the Oraisa. Teishu ke'im taduru. Teishu ke'im taduru. Remember, we had a have mina darshan teishu ke'im taduru. Even for women. Why? Because women live. Right? You live with women. So that's a have mina. Halacha m'shusinai not. But you don't also live with women, you also live with children. Right? The family. Lives men, women, and children. So, just as he says, just like we would have darshan teishu ke'im taduru ish v'ishto, if not for Lachon Sinai, why not darshan teishu ke'im taduru ishu banav? Right? So therefore, Shammai taka darshan teishu ke'im taduru ishu banav. Teishu ke'im taduru.
So they bring him into the sukkah, don't make a sukkah over in the house where they're saying. Doesn't fit the
shakha. That's an interesting ha'ara, right? Because like the hakira is it that the kid is chayim in sukkah? Or that you're chayv to bring your kids into the sukkah. And here, he really sounds like you're chayv to bring your kids into the sukkah, right? Which the lashon is, Shammai Machmir, he says, Machmir min adid, aviv chayva min ator, teishvim yidur ishu banav. L'gabi didei, medrashafi avagam v'lushin l'chayv isha b'sukkah. That the aviv is chayv, because it doesn't say the kid is chayv. I mean, it's hard to be chayv to be. Right, says the aviv is chayev. So what? That's an interesting question. How you go through this chayev? You don't bring them into your sukkah. So either you have to say that maybe it's lashon lav davka. It does mean it's part of the aviv teishu came to do to be with your kids. Okay, I'm on tape now, so we can't discuss whether it's more enjoyable to be with your kids or without your kids. You know, it's not crazy to call a deer and have a little break sometimes. If someone else were to say that, I would understand where they were coming from. So maybe he's lav davka. He doesn't mean it's my teaching and doer to bring my kids with me. No, what he means is that it's a teaching and doer that all the males have to be in a sukkah. And therefore, I am chayim to make sure that all the males I'm responsible for are in the sukkah. And he really needs the chiv on the kid, not a chiv on me. The lashon of Rashi and Yevamos is, Shammai holds a katan as chayiv basukkah. Right? Rashi and Yevamos. It was on the chorus. Right? I'm quoting him, you know, more or less. But he says something like that. So I wonder, it's an excellent question. If it's teishu ke'im taduru of the father, how does it help to be in a different place? Maybe I could say something else. Maybe Shammai Taka was there. He was made tzchach on the mita for the katan and also for himself.
Well, maybe he was adjacent. No.
Although he was a grandfather. Why should
he? Couldn't be adjacent to his sukkah?
Yeah, maybe he was adjacent. Maybe that counts good well enough. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, Disfirli the Shammai katan sort emo is chayav basukkah.
But he says the exact opposite. A gift is so loud after the
I understand. Or maybe you could say that, you know what, it counts as being with him in the sukkah if you're in nearby sukkahs. Shammai wasn't the other side of town. Maybe Shammai was nearby.
I don't understand. What's the smart to say that?
What?
What's the smart to say that?
After all, just like in a house, you know, you could
so
have...
What is the conversation ever? Okay.
All right. No, but I thought something... said, if you're saying that you need to have your children with you in the sukkah, you being here and the child being there, even if he's not in the sukkah, he's near you the same way, this kid inherently doesn't have to be in the sukkah.
I hear that. Okay. That's not ma'aki for me, but it also does sound... Sikha al-gabi ha-mita v'shvilakatan sounds like, you know, only very limited schach. Aaron?
Well, you could say that dira doesn't mean that it has to be that the kids have to be living with you. It means you, as the head of the household, are obligated to take care that they have a place to live. So during the year, that means it should be in a house. And on surface, that means you need to make them...
Right, I mean, it's not that you enjoy life more if you have your kids with you and it's a better dira. It's that you have to move yourself into the sukkah, you have to move your kids into the sukkah. It's not that you have to be with your kids. It's not like the Ramah, that it's no fun without your wife. No. It's that you have to move your kids into the sukkah, just like you have to move your deer into the sukkah. Part of moving your deer is moving your kids, not because you like to be with your kids because they're cute.
No one said in the Chakira by Ishu Ishto that if for those that say that you actually need the woman in the sukkah, that if you just built another sukkah next to yours, that you'd be yotze and you could sleep in your sukkah alone. Like, that's not really an idea. So it's kind of strange to say.
Okay, but maybe that's a different Havmina. So it's a great question, which is like, what is the invitation you came to Duru? But I think you have to say more. Either you have to be nidchak and say that, like, Taka, the Abba, was with the kid here. Shammai wasn't even the Abba, right? He was the Saba, right? Yol the Kolosso, Shel Shammai Azaki. He was a Zaki. So either you have to say maybe the Abba was with the kid, or you have to say it doesn't mean you should be with your kids and have a family experience. It means you should move your family to the sukkah. Just like a part of making sukkaso keva v'diras v'beso arai is that you move your family, right? If you ask, you know, if you ask Israeli tax authorities, this is a sensitive issue, actually. But if you ask Israeli tax authorities, like, where someone lives, if they spend most of their time in America, but their wife and kids live in Israel, they will say he lives in Israel, right? That's his keva. Even though he spends 250 days a year in America and only 115 days in Israel, he lives in Israel if that's where his wife and kids are. That's his dires keva. Okay, don't spread this fact to Mutzav Shiyu Shogin. Psak Mefurish, right? So it could be that it doesn't mean you have to be with your kids. It just means that part of your dira is housing your family. You have to house your family in a sukkah. So maybe that's what you have to say. Teishu came to do
what it means. The first time the Ramban in the Torah is exactly that. Everybody's got it. You got to make sure everybody's in a sukkah.
Right. Call Ezra Yisrael Yisrael
Sukkah.
Okay.
Not in the house.
Right. Okay, great. So Teishu came to do it. You could say, you know, again, Ras is the katan is chayiv sukkah. What do you mean the katan is chayiv sukkah? How can a baby be chayiv sukkah if it's a baby? Right? How can the baby be chayiv sukkah? So I think the answer is no. It means that you're chayiv to make sure all the men in your household go to a sukkah. Okay. So teishu kein taduru means you have to move all men into a sukkah. Okay. That's the first shot. However, there's a second shot as well. What's the second shot? The second shot is the Ran and the Ritva. They say that not min haTorah because the teishu kein taduru. But midrabanan, midin chinuch. I don't understand. Does Shammai think a katan who can't shake a lulav has to shake a lulav? Does Shammai think a baby has to wear tzitzis even though he's not yudeilus atev? Does Shammai think a baby has to wear tefillin even though he's not yudeilus shmor tefilav? You put on for 1 second when you make sure he's not passing gas, maybe. Does Shammai think the baby has to do lulav even though he's not yudeil ananea? I mean, it doesn't seem that Shammai thinks a baby is chayiv and chinuch of something he can't do. So what did the Ran and Ritva explain? Midin chinuch. Why is a katan tzarich l'imo chayiv and chinuch if he can't do it? So the answer is very poshut. He can do it. A katan can live in the sukkah. Can totally live in the sukkah. It's just that he has a difficulty because when he wakes up at night, he doesn't have his mommy. And when he soils his diaper, he doesn't have his mommy. But he can live in the sukkah. He just has challenges living in the sukkah. But he's yodel. It's a katan heyodel in ane. Yodel is ate. What Shai would say is, let's say you're a katan who knew how to put on tzitzis. Just sometimes he would trip on them. So Shammai would say, he's chayim, he knows how to do it. Oh, there's a pitfall. Okay, you know what? So you'll have to be clever and figure out a way to avoid this pitfall. Clip it up so he doesn't trip. And no, put his mother nearby so she takes care. Figure something out. You know, put the father on diaper duty. Nowadays, that's what we do, right? Maybe Shammai also could have thought of it. Because a katan can be Yoshek the Sukkah. A company can be Yoshek the Sukkah. He just has
difficulty.
It's not even that he's difficult being Yoshek the Sukkah. He can be Yoshek the Sukkah. He just has a sign problem. Right? The company will be Yoshek the Sukkah just fine. Just his mother's not there. Right? So the machlokas Shammai and Hillel is then, what is the age of chinuch? When the katan knows how to do something and take care of it and not have any problems and it fits in with his lifestyle? Or when the katan knows how to do the bare action even though he can't really get it to work in his lifestyle? Shammai says, if the katan knows how to do the action, that is good enough. And any katan knows how to sleep in a sukkah and eat in a sukkah. I mean,
Tis chayav and Shabbos and Yom Tov also.
What?
Tis chayav and Shabbos and Yom Tov also.
I'm talking about a seis.
Okay.
If he doesn't know how to make kiddush, and he doesn't know how to eat matzah. He can't eat a baby. Can't eat matzah. So Shammai says if he knows how to do it, there are problems. So we'll deal with the problems. Well, Hillel says no. If he doesn't know how to do it, then normally and be normal, then he's pater from chinuch. That's the machlokas Shammai and Hillel.
Says Yolda, we're talking about an infant here.
An infant doesn't know how to live in a sukkah?
Yeah, but what's the meaning of chinuch by a little baby? Okay. Know what's going on.
So great question. So ask Morty. Says Tainach Keshe Mekein Taduru could be a little baby, right? After all, there's 2 days in the Ramban, but many poskim hold Hakel is Hanashim Hanashim Atav Hakel. You have to bring little babies. Why bring little babies? They don't understand. That's what the Torah said, to bring little babies. It's part of your experience, maybe, right? So if teaching it through, it doesn't bother us. But if it's chinuch, forget about the machlokas Shammai and Hillel. What about chinuch if they're going to have trouble? Right? So Shammai is like a little stricter and Hillel is like a little, more reasonable. Fine. But what's the chinuch? What is this? What is he learning from this? Right? If he's a 3-day-old baby, what education is he getting from this? So who did that bother, apparently? The Chachma Shlomo, the Marshal, right? The Marshal, it bothered Marshal so much that what did the Marshal invent?
A 5-year-old.
He says, obviously he didn't put over the baby. He didn't put Tzchach over the baby's crib. After all, what does a baby know? No, what it meant is she had a baby, but she also had a 5-year-old, or it could have been a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, whatever, right? She had a baby and she also had a toddler. Okay, she had a baby and a toddler. And the toddler still needed his ima. So Tainach, why is the baby relevant? L'chor, because if she hadn't had a baby, she would have been able to take care of the toddler in the sukkah. But she had a baby, so she's busy with the baby. She can't also be in the baby and I'll take the toddler in the sukkah. And therefore, Shammai puts chach for the baby to sleep next to his mother, sleeping next to the toddler, to sleep next to his mother, sleeping next to the newborn. But it was really a 5-year-old toddler. So according to that, I think the reason he says this is bothered by Morty's question, which is, is there chinuch for a baby? So says the Chachma Shlomo the Maharshal, no. Right? There's no chinuch for a baby. As a matter of fact, the Rav is also bothered by this. You know, the Rav says, you know, I'm just going to go with the Rav on the first shot in the Ritva. What else do you need to do? I don't understand. How do you clean up for a baby? So Marshal says, okay, it wasn't for a baby. It was for his 5-year-old brother. And even if you say 4 or 3-year-old brother, fine. Even a 2-year-old brother can start to understand being in a sukkah. Not so hard to understand being in a sukkah. Right? However, that's obviously an upshot. No one else thinks that. Right? Everyone else thinks it was Mam Shabibi. So then you have to say a tremendous Kiddush in Shammai. So Pshat is yes, at least according to Shammai. And here's what's a little funny. The Ritva says, and Hillel disagrees because the kid needs his mother. It's too hard in the sukkah. He doesn't even say Hillel disagrees because the baby doesn't learn anything. So it sounds like even Hillel might agree there's chinuch even if he doesn't learn anything. That's a big chiddush. How can there be chinuch if he doesn't learn anything? It's a big chiddush. I prefer to say only Shammai holds that Hillel doesn't. Although if you're dying to be shown him, it sounds like Hillel also agrees. Because he only disagrees because it's not practical. He doesn't disagree because it's pointless. So the only thing I think you have to say... Yeah, Morty, you want to help me out here?
Like mitzvah musar, that mitzvahs, they do something to you.
Okay. So that was one of my two answers, right? I think you have to say one of two answers, each of which is going to have to make some sort of chiddush. It's very strange. Tanach, even a 1 or 2 year old, okay, maybe he sees something in the sukkah, he remembers something, who knows? You know, but it's, a newborn baby is clearly not cognizant of being in a sukkah. So how is it shayachinach? So I think I'm saying two things. Either you could say it's a low plug. He's not learning anything, but Chazal made a general rule to get kids into mitzvahs, and therefore it's a low plug whether he's learning anything or not. Or you have to say that maybe, you know, even if he's not cognizing, somehow has some hashpah in his neshama. Now, again, even if he was like too young to understand, you could say that some hashpah in him subconsciously on his experience, etc. But with a baby, a newborn baby, no, even subconsciously, it's hard to say, I'll be psychology. But you could say, I'll be genius, if you want, that maybe it somehow has some salutary effect on his neshama. So again, for Shama, you have to say basically one of three things here. Let's just, don't need a picture. Let's just ask a question, which is, how is there chinuch if he doesn't, if he doesn't understand, if he doesn't learn? After all, he's not learning anything, he's a newborn. So you have to say one of three things. Either Aleph, you have to say the Chachma Shlomo, the Marshal. He had a big brother. Okay, that solves the problem. But that's not Pashut Pshat. Or Bet, you have to say that it is somehow metaphysical. Which is funny, because that we don't normally assume the mitzvah of chinuch is metaphysical. Some of it's mechanech is neshama, the kedusha of the sukkah is mechanech is neshama. Okay, now, if he was too young to do it, we wouldn't tell him to. But, since he can't do it, or, if you're very desperate, you just have to say, low plug. After all, you know, how do you know how much the kid's learning when? Like, we know if he was just born, he's not learning. But, you know what, psychologists have surprising things to say about kids learning. Yeah, so you never know when a kid's learning what. So I'm feeling confident that the kid was born 3 days ago. He's not really learning to sit in a sukkah on sukkahs, like ad kidei kach lo. But still, it's always hard to know when to draw the line. And kids learn, right? Parents who've done things they don't want their kids to learn realize how young kids learn. You never know. So therefore, they made a low plug. If the kid can do it, he should do it. Whether you really think he's cognizant or not, because that's easier than trying to figure out exactly when he's old enough to learn. I mean, the Achronim don't go this way. They say there's an age called Bar Havana, where like he can at least understand, you know, what's going on. So you're stuck. I have three duchuk answers. I don't have a great that, or just take the other shot and teach me things to do, right? But if you're going to take the chinuch shot, I have three duchuk answers, and I'd love to say that's why Hillel disagrees, although it's not beforehand in the Rishonim. But maybe it could still be. But it's strange.
If Yeshua's mother brought him to the Mishmerish, why is it so dumb?
Okay, why did she brought him to the Mishmerish when he was a baby? So, what difference does the Mishmerish make in a baby? You know, maybe it has some chinuch effect, either metaphysically, or I don't know, he gets used to the sounds of the Mishmerish, he gets used to the Avira, you know, maybe it does have some effect. That's good, all right.
Is it maybe more hashkafic, but also when you think the whole mitzvah of sukkah, the money is because of what happened to the mitzvah. So the mitzvah, obviously, it wasn't that the kids are not chayav, so they're sitting outside. Obviously, they were there inside. I mean, other mitzvahs may occur, the dori doris have always been adults doing it, not children. But this mitzvah always wants toddlers to have it, or that's the source of the mitzvah.
Okay, So Aaron's saying maybe this isn't a regular din of chinuch. Maybe this isn't a regular din of chinuch, but maybe this is part of l'man yedu dorosecha. There's a special inyan to pass on from generation to generation, and passing on from generation to generation means not only when they're old enough to understand, it means it's part of, it's not just for him to understand. It's part of everyone's kiyum of sukkahs that we feel the passing on of the generations. Now, I'm not sure if that's the riff and the ron meant by chinuch. Maybe it would be easier to say that's what they meant by teishu kain taduru, or maybe that's a, or maybe that's what underlies it. It doesn't mean regular chinuch. It doesn't mean regular chinuch. It means a unique chinuch from teishu kain taduru. Okay, I know that Chesky's been trying for months to convince me of this. But if here is one derech, and here is two drachim, maybe you could somehow, I apologize for the funny, real gerrymandering here, but you could say three, and you could say maybe it underlies one or two. Like maybe that's really why we darshan Teishu Kain Taduru this way, or why Hashem said Teishu Kain Taduru this way for the Shammai. That's the special chinuch, that it's a kiyum in Leman Yedu Doroseichem. Leman Yedu Doroseichem, we're just adding, it doesn't just mean you have to make sure your kid finds out, because then when he's 3 days old, he's not going to find out. It means that part of the experience of Sukkos is the experience of the generations. And to have the experience of generations, you need to have all the generations in the Sukkah. You need to bring even a baby into the Sukkah to pass on that Masorah to him. Not because he's going to learn something now for when he grows up, but because part of the idea of Sukkos is to reinforce the idea of passing on through the generations. So maybe it's a kiyum in the father that he brings the baby into the Sukkah. Why? Because he's initiating his baby into the Masorah. Even though the baby doesn't learn anything, still, you don't have to do that for all mitzvahs, but for l'man yedu doraseichem, you know, similar to Pesach, right? L'man yedu doraseichem, it's an interesting question. Like, Pesach, say, you're what age kids? Maybe we'd find something similar, at least according to Shammai. Yeah, then it's hard to disprove me. Go prove that we don't find that according to Shammai. Maybe Shammai would say similar things. That's there's something unique here about having the chain of generations in the Sukkah, L'man Yedu Doraseichem. Okay, I don't have a clear marker for that, but I think that now that I see how stuck I am on the other drachma, maybe there's something to it. Agav, I would point out, of course, if you want to view this as regular chinuch, going back to that classic hakira, where the chinuch is that the kid is chayav, the father is chayav kind of his kid. Obviously, this would only work if the father's chayav kind of the kid. You're not going to tell me the 3-day-old baby himself is chayav. Okay. All right. I think we'll have to stop here. We didn't get to the. We got to the Mishnah. Okay. I can pick up the cloud if I want. We'll have to pick up with the next Mishnah next time. Okay. There's a lot of course in the next Mishnah, but I think it's we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. So next time we'll run over some of course about the next Mishnah. We'll go on to the rest of the discussion about the next Mishnah of rain. My plan is by the end of next week to finish the parak, because there's, you know, a little more halachic sugya, and I mean there's really not that much more. There's really not that much left to the parak. So my plan is sometime next week to finish the parak and the Mitzvah Shem start lulav hagazal. And okay, anyone who wants to have some time to sit back and relax and enjoy the slow pace of life should do that between now and the end of next week, because once we start lulav hagazal, it's going to become the very first couple of lulav hagazal, very, very, very intense. So get psyched now.